It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody. Welcome on in. Welcome to another edition of Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us, everybody. Yeah, so we're at the warehouse. It's our usual Friday deal, right? We're out here on a Friday.
Yes.
Scott's parked on the old...
familiar seat.
Yes.
Yeah, we appreciate the accommodation change here.
Well, Kelly was thinking about putting us, like, in regular chairs. We are at the warehouse.
We are not normal people.
Come on.
We do not.
I'm ready to
normally.
Put my feet up. I'm ready to take a nap partway through the show, Scott. Be
well,
ready.
Well, the shoes are going off.
Listen, I take some offense. I've never called Hans Hans, okay? Leave that to somebody else. All right? And yes, I do have a performance background. Get over it. It's fine. Yeah, can I sing? Yeah. All right? Am I going to apologize for it? No.
Okay.
I just heard PK singing for like 20 minutes straight on their happy hour. So I was like.
Did he sound good?
Oh, yeah. Actually, better. When you slow him down and make him inebriated, absolutely sounds fantastic.
Sounds incredible.
That's the kind of PK that I want all the time. So there's that. Hey, happy Friday to you, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Scott does have his feet up. We are at the warehouse, 1825 South, 300 Western, Salt Lake City. Easy enough to find. Kelly's got the stuff all set up in here, so we're ready to roll here. We're ready to kick the show off. We've got tons of stuff to talk about. Let's just jump in first to the cut because that's where we start every show. Scott, I don't know if you're familiar, so let's jump right in. Let's do it.
The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut brought to you by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. Visit uofuhealth.org for more info. That is uofuhealth.org. Scott, the NFL schedule's out. And I know yesterday we kind of had a couple of the they had rolled out by the time our show had been we were about to hit the bricks and be done with the show. They had already kind of rolled out some of the marquee games, which really the most marquee you can get are any game with Tom Brady in it. What is the level of, I mean, is it just we are so desperate for football at that time? When that first Thursday of football rolls around, we're desperate for those games. And so, but what do you think makes up, like, what is the most important thing to the NFL to put a game on the docket? Because it seems like they want a little bit of the awkwardness. Now, the Seahawks and the Broncos, they were set to play each other a long time ago. You know who your opponents are for a long time. And then when they're going to play them, that's a different story. And so, of course, they did the right thing, and they made a really awkward move and put the Broncos coming up to Seattle
the
first Monday Night Football.
I think awkward is the most important
that's the one you want.
Formula that the NFL – yeah. Because you have all these – and it feels like it's all these quarterbacks going back to the team there or the place that they played before. And Russell Wilson and the Broncos is a great example – against Seattle, but it just feels like that's always the key for everyone as far as the schedule goes. what I always find fascinating, we're about to get into, man, I can't believe the NFL season is almost here mode. That's I mean, we're almost there. We're almost like, I mean, you actually heard it from Mitch Harper yesterday. He's like, wow, we're about ready to get into media days, and we're going to get into Pac-12 media days and BYU media days, and then all of a sudden they're going to go to camp, and boom, the season's here. And literally within the end of this month, we get into June, and all of a sudden we're going to go, man, I can't believe the NFL season's almost here, or the college football season's almost here. I mean, we're almost.
That's the only thing we care about.
That's really like we're living our life for the next 3 months, 3.5 months with, I can't believe the NFL season is almost here. And getting the little tidbit or the little like nugget of something to look forward to with the schedule is, to me, you know, I think people make a bigger deal out of it than maybe it is. But here's the thing that I think is great about the NFL right now. When you talk about these matchups, there are so many intriguing and really good teams, or potentially good teams to watch, I think, you know, maybe in forever.
You're just saying that because you're desperate for football right now.
No, this is the season. No. I'm not a person who's desperate for football. It's like, okay, I'll watch it, fine, but it's not my form of entertainment is far different than NFL
football. What does that mean?
It's just not the thing I get most excited about entertaining myself.
Hold on a minute. Well, what is it?
What entertains me?
Yeah, what entertains you the most?
Not less than football.
Okay, so hold on a minute.
Football to me is not entertaining. Football to me is – like, I've watched football and been a part of it for so long. For me, it's like
– you've told me before you have a hard time enjoying yourself.
I just analyze the heck
right.
out of it.
You can't enjoy yourself. You watch it differently.
No, I can't help myself. I just look at it and I go, oh, this is what's going on.
It really is a job for you. It really is just work for you. You show up. You got to analyze it. And then you go home. You go, gosh, that game was so –
well, it's not that I'm like – I'm intrigued by the ability to analyze it.
That's a first world sports problem. Well, seen too much football in my life, can't enjoy it anymore.
Yeah, you call me first world then, because that's really what it is. But what's ridiculous. Great about football right now, and it even gets me, the analytical one, excited about, is that there are so many good scenarios and quarterbacks and teams this year, and it's even some retreaded guys that might be intriguing. And Russell Wilson is a retread. I mean, he was so entrenched in Seattle. And is he this year's Matthew Stafford? You know, or is it Matt Ryan? Is it Matt Ryan who was really good in Atlanta with the Falcons? And does he find a renewed excitement, you know, being with the Colts now? And those aren't even the best stories.
Right.
I mean, Russell Wilson is. Russell Wilson is.
See what he's going to do in Denver.
But then you have Deshaun Watson, and it's like, when does he play? Does he play? And what happens if he plays? Does this team in Cleveland all of a sudden become what they really should be? Because they're a very good football team, right?
They should be, yeah.
And then you go, well, what happened to Aaron Rodgers? Because the one thing that we haven't heard boo out of is Aaron Rodgers. And maybe he just
I bet he's so mad about it, too. He's stewing. He's
maybe
like,
he just
how
wanted
can I
to get
myself?
Paid. I don't know.
How can I get myself more in the public discussion? I want there to be some controversy. So he'll find a way to be.
So these are the old guys, right?
But then there's your Joe Burrows.
Then you have Joe Burrow, like, and it's the Cincinnati Bengals. Who'd have thought that one? Who day, right? Really, because it's like they're a really good football team.
Why would you not pick them to maybe just do the exact same thing they did, or just win a lot more regular season games and get right back there? They know what it feels like to get there. Joe Burrow, you get the sense like he's going to be around forever. You get the sense that every game that he's at and that he's playing in, like, that's much – in my mind, a Joe Burrow-led Cincinnati Bengals team is kind of must-watch. It's much must-watch football for me. I want to see what he does every week.
You have a guy like Peyton Manning, who it took a long time for him to get into playoff games to finally win and go to a Super Bowl. And Joe Burrow does it in his second year. And not only does he do it, but he goes to some really tough places to win in the playoffs. And the Super Bowl wasn't bigger than him. Like this kid's maturity and his level of comfort in the big game is – it's like, wow. Where do you go from that? Because a guy like Josh Allen, who I think is a phenomenal talent.
Right.
and really has, you know, they've done just such a great job in developing and nurturing him. But he still hadn't won, right? I mean, and you have to get, you know, and will he be a guy that's going to, you know, take a long time to get to the Super Bowl? So you have him and you have Patrick Mahomes and you have Justin Herbert now. You have Matthew Stafford. Tom Brady comes back. Who's the quarterback for the Saints now? Does Jameis Winston, because you know, is that going to be a
team? Oh, you know, I mean, you know who looks like
there's so much intrigue. And then what does Mac Jones do with the Patriots?
Year two, yeah.
Like was he, you know?
Did the Jets really make the right moves in their draft? Was their draft really as perfect as everybody thought it was?
The whole AFC East is incredible.
Intriguing, yes.
I mean,
what's more intriguing? Hold on, what's more intriguing? AFC West, you have Russell Wilson with the Broncos now. Derek Carr and the Raiders picked up Davante Adams right in the offseason. Justin Herbert, who I think is one of these guys that you could see him be the next Joe Burrow, frankly, this next year. The guy is so talented, and I'm always intrigued at what he's going to do. And then we haven't even talked about the Chiefs. Then Mahomes, you throw him in there. Or is it the AFC East with your former Dolphins team now with Tyreek Hill and the Patriots? Who knows what Bill Belichick always is going to be up to? The Bills are not even a dark horse Super Bowl contender. They're kind of on the top of everybody's list. That's why the NFL put them week one, right? That's why the NFL put them week one against Tom Brady right out of the gates to be able to see kind of what you've got, or no, sorry, against the Rams. Week one. I'm interested, to me, the awkwardness, like they love, okay, I was looking at a list of like games that are the most interesting, the most intriguing.
Well, just any time those teams right there play each other, that's interesting. Like those are going to be incredible games in the division games when they play out of the division and they play each other.
Right.
I mean, and that's my whole point is there so many good teams right now, so many teams with so much potential. You know, it felt like a couple of years ago we said, there's the Chiefs and maybe Pittsburgh, maybe the Ravens, you know, and New England.
The ones that I don't care about, the ones that they try to tell you you should be excited about, here are the ones that I don't care about coaching matchups at all.
No.
When they go Bill Belichick versus Josh McDaniels used to be, you know, one of his assistants. I go, I have no. And when you show me the stats of how many times Nick Saban has beaten his assistants, or how many times that Bill Belichick beats his assistants, I it's no interest to me because you're talking about the two guys who actually aren't on the field doing anything, and that's not intriguing to me.
It's kind of a weird
and
thing.
Bill Belichick is not. If Bill Belichick would get up at a press conference and go, didn't like him as a coach. You know, like that'd be kind of fun. That'd be kind of interesting. The awkwardness I want to see is Aaron Rodgers against Tom Brady because Aaron Rodgers thinks that nobody's bigger than he is.
You think that's awkward?
It's not awkward. It's as much as it is.
You don't want to see that.
I want to see it. But I think that because that plays out on the field, right? So when they do possible Super Bowl matchups too, I'm not that interested in that either. When they go, ooh, look at this. It's going to be Bills Buccaneers, you know, week four. I go, I don't care if in week four, if this could be a potential Super Bowl matchup. It's not like in week four, I'm going to go, we're looking at the two teams who are going to be in the Super Bowl because obviously by that time of the year, everything changes anyway.
Coaching matchups, though, I think.
The dumbest.
No, I think those are kind of interesting.
Why? Only if there is a play. See, for me, it's like Mike McCarthy facing off against the Packers. When the Cowboys and Packers play each other, there's a little bit of awkwardness there. I always love the idea of and McCarthy, the Cowboys haven't proven anything, and anything that has Tom Brady in it, the NFL loves, right? Tom Brady's going to be a part of something.
Well,
they'll put him there. It's great.
Wait, you went from coaches to Tom Brady. And
that one, but see, the coaches don't matter. The players are the ones that matter. Tom Brady is so far, any game with the Buccaneers in it, the NFL's interested in. Because it's almost if they're double dipping in the Tom Brady farewell tour. So it feels like another farewell tour for Tom Brady this year. And
I feel like Tom Brady isn't going to make it through the year.
Injury? Done for the season?
Like just watching him at the end of last season, it was like, he just feels like he's slowing down just a little bit. Like in the past, it was like, and believe me, like you could see it with Drew Brees. Those last couple of years with Drew Brees, it's like, the ball just doesn't quite have the same.
Doesn't have the zip on it.
Can't throw the ball down the field like he used to throw it down the field. It just he's moving a little bit slower. And Tom Brady.
I love how you're talking about him like he's old Yeller. Just doesn't have as much. He doesn't have as much intrigue anymore.
Yeah, probably going to have to put him down.
We're going to have to put him down behind the barn.
Yeah, you might. And the reality is in that situation, it's humane, you know, to do that. So Tom, you know,
so we're just doing the humane thing here.
I'm just telling you right now. I wouldn't be surprised if Tom Brady's return to football turns out to be a dud.
Okay,
I just feel, but I want to get back to those coaches. I got to get back to the. They do matter.
Bill Belichick versus Josh McDaniels. I don't care about.
No, it's look. They'll make a big deal out of it. And here's these coaches. They are so competitive. Like the thing that's the awkwardness of it is, they pretend to like each other and they pretend.
Or they pretend that this is just another game
to underplay it, right? But behind the scenes, they're like,
yeah, we'll be fine.
I want to put it on that guy.
We'll be fine.
I want to put it on that guy.
On to Cleveland. On to Cleveland. Yeah.
It's not that way.
It's not.
No.
I get that these guys have a little bit more on the line. Okay. To me, there are a lot of games, too, that you look at the schedule. Right out of the gate, the ones that matter the most to me are quarterback matchups, right? Those are the ones everybody wants to see. And the ones that everybody wants to see, they want to see Josh Allen. Here's the order of importance of quarterbacks people want to see. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. Now, it's a coin toss for me, Scott. Would you rather see Josh Allen or would you rather see like a Justin Herbert? Well, what's the one that you go, that's kind of must-see football for you? You're more of the – you and I both have this affinity for – I love Justin Herbert. But Josh Allen is something different. Josh Allen has been something totally different, and so I'm intrigued by that. And this is here's what I will say about this quarterback class right now in the NFL. It's a really, really strong class of quarterbacks. What I like is that within divisions, multiple quarterbacks are really, really good. Inside a lot of divisions. The weakest division right now, you look at like the NFC South, you look at the AFCs, the AFC South.
NFC East.
The NFC East. And then you look at the AFC South, like with the Jaguars, the Texans.
The Colts
and the Titans. Nobody.
The Falcons.
Falcons are NFC.
Yeah.
But all these.
Might as well be.
You're
AFC
just saying
South.
In the South. Just all these. Yeah. Teams. But either way.
Isn't that funny how the South in college football is like amazing?
And the South and the NFL is NFL's like, always like.
Not so much.
Well, regionally.
Besides the Bucs.
Regionally, it is really funny because they probably love their team. People in Alabama love Alabama football more than they like any NFL team
by
far.
Oh, sure.
By far. Yeah. Same thing with like, an Auburn supporter. Maybe even the University of Georgia, Hawks, they are way bigger University of Georgia fans than they've ever been Falcon fans. Yeah.
Now, getting back to Justin Herbert and Josh Allen.
Which one? You get to pick one. Which one do you want?
Clearly, you just saw something with Josh Allen in that game against the Cleveland or against the Kansas City.
I wish they were still playing that game.
I mean, that was a great game.
Yeah.
He feels like he's maybe further along in his development. But for me, with both of them, I want to see can they get to the big game? Can they win, in the playoffs? I mean, Justin Herbert hasn't really had an opportunity to get there yet. He certainly is talented enough, but can he make that leap? Can he be a playoff contender? Because, or do you end up being like a Phillip Rivers? Where Phillip Rivers was really good, but
he just kind of was a placeholder. If you think of Phillip Rivers,
never
think,
could seem to get
a kajillion yards and 7-9 every year. Yeah. Just like right there.
And so you want to see a guy that kind of makes a different, makes a bigger leap.
What's the toughest?
And a bigger splash? Because I think Josh Allen probably is more talented.
What's the toughest division? What's the toughest division in football right now? Is it that AFC West?
Yeah, I really think.
Is it the AFC East? Which one's going to turn the corner? I think the NFC North is going to be your old black and blue division.
Here's the thing.
Mightily improved.
Here's the thing with the AFC East.
What is it?
Okay. You don't know what Mac Jones is yet. You don't know what Zach Wilson is yet, and you don't know what Tua is.
You're right.
So there's just a big old question mark hanging over three of the four teams.
When you say it like that, it makes it sound like actually. If none of those teams have just a totally solid situation at quarterback.
They don't. Not yet. I mean,
which means by inherently it's not a great division.
Yeah. And then right. And then
except for Josh Allen.
But then the AFC West is Mahomes, Wilson, Herbert, and Carr.
Yeah.
And Carr is probably the lowest of the four in that one.
You think so? Even
yeah.
You're not going to put Herbert at the tail end of that?
Well, he's just too young yet. But Carr could make a massive leap with
Devontae Adams.
Yeah, I mean that could be significant for him. And he's been a steady player, so it's not like he isn't. But you know who we haven't talked about?
Who?
We haven't talked a whole lot about the Rams.
Oh, no, the Super Bowl champions?
Nor the whiny baby in the with the Cardinals.
The whiny baby. Oh, Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray.
Right.
Kyler.
See,
Murray.
I've been purposefully trying to avoid the NFC West talk at all, because the Seahawks are going to be a single digit win team, and when I say low single digit win team, they're going to be the new Jets. They're going to be a 2-4 win team.
They could be.
They don't have a quarterback.
Arch Manning. Who knows?
Are they that far ahead? Really? Positioning for would Arch Manning go to Seattle? That's
yes.
a question.
Oh yeah.
Or would he poo-poo it and do the whole he wants to be in a bigger market thing?
No. No.
You don't think so?
No. No, that would be a
plus
good
Pete Carroll's a guy people do want to go play for.
And then the Cowboys.
We
haven't talked about the Cowboys. And
they don't deserve any attention. Now, one of the games they put on the list is like a must watch is Packers Cowboys. Cowboys Buccaneers front end of the that's your first that's your first Sunday night game, right?
But here's the thing, the Cowboys to me are like Anna Kournikova. Like looks really good, you know,
gets
a lot of attention, always talked about,
never the world number one.
Never wins.
Never wins a Grand Slam.
And that's what the Cowboys are, that they're just that team.
People, the Cowboys
people
have
love to love them. They love to look at them. They think, man, this is a loaded, talented.
Sell
lawyer.
A lot
they,
of merch. Sell a ton of merch. Like, their brand is bigger than their team has been for decades.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's still the biggest brand in sports.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't know anybody who competes. When you think about an NFL team, there's no other sporting entity in the world that's more valuable than an NFL team right now.
You would go.
And then the Cowboys would be it.
You would go Yankees, Cowboys, Lakers.
Yankees over Cowboys?
Yankees, Cowboys, Lakers, as far as the biggest names in their perspective.
I don't think that you've given enough respect to the English Premier League teams out there,
Scott. I'm not talking about England. They're not even listening to our show, and it's probably nighttime right now. They're sitting in a pub.
It's not probably nighttime.
Sitting in a pub.
Drinking a warm pint.
With some fish and chips.
throw out a few more stereotypes.
Wondering when the next Ted Lasso's coming. That's what they're doing.
You know who probably hates Ted Lasso is Englishmen. They probably don't like it.
I don't think so.
I think it portrays them as a passionate lot, as they would say. So there you go.
I think, yeah.
If England made honestly, this could be a market. They could make Apple could produce a soccer manager coming over to coach an NFL team.
Right.
Or I guess it'd be like more like a high-level college team, and it just would not translate. We would not be able to. We would not be able to handle it, because we'd be watching it and going, oh, "They got that." People never talk like that. They got the phraseology wrong.
Because we quite don't know what it's really like with the soccer.
Right.
Right.
And so we just kind of take a lot of stuff at face value and go,
Yeah. I don't know. I still think they did a good job.
Did you see look, they got Scott Mitchell to watch a soccer series like three times. Are you on your third viewing of it?
Yeah.
You've seen it three times?
And what they tell you is it's not about soccer.
Like, right, that's the whole point.
The actual game, like,
terrible.
Footage is not
awful.
Yeah.
It's like when you watch Friday Night Lights, and you go, just don't look at the quarterback. Watch the quarterback throw, because it'll make you mad.
When the ball and hits the mascot, come on.
Yes. Oh,
come
and kills the greyhound?
Kills the dog. Terrible.
Spoiler alert. Jeez. How dare you?
97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Attention.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
Attention.
With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Thanks for being with us. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. We are in our, I guess not usual Friday spot, but it is a consistent Friday spot for us. And it's the warehouse here in Salt Lake City, 1825 South, 300 West. Come in. Hey, come sit on the couch with us. I don't mind. You, Scott?
Not at all. There's plenty of room.
Sit between us.
Yeah,
we picked the big. We did pick
the
big.
If you talk halfway intelligent, we'll put you on the air.
Watch people start streaming in. I got a couple things to say. Why not? I was going to ask you, Scott, and I'm going to put it on Matt as well. Matt Biamonte from KSL Sports, Cougar Sports Saturday, joining us on the program here. By the way, by way of announcement, the Salt Lake Shredder and our Utah's newest professional ultimate frisbee team has got their home opener tonight at Zions Bank Stadium. So. Look, this is an adrenaline rush. $15 at the gate, or go to saltlakeshred.com. They play there at the Zions Bank Stadium in Harriman, so don't miss the action. Saltlakeshred.com. I was putting this out there hypothetically. Let's throw a poll up, Jared. What do you say? Well, I want to know what the whiniest group of whiniest whiners are in sports, because I just so happened to watch some NBA. I mean, I've been watching a lot of NBA playoffs, and last night I really had the thought that they have eclipsed soccer players with the flopping, and then I thought about in football, there's not really that many whiners. And then I went, oh, wait, wide receivers. They're pretty whiny.
No.
You don't think they're whiny?
No.
Who's the one? Okay.
The reason the NBA is so whiny is it's got all these European players now.
Okay, see?
And they grow up
they've assimilated with the soccer.
They go, that's just how we do it. That's how we roll.
So is just soccer the reigning champion of all-time whiniest whiners? But now crack it down because
I actually think Luka Doncic is the whiniest whiner.
His
of all
face
whiners.
Is hard to it's hard
like,
to look at.
Every time he shoots the basketball, he raises his arms like where's the foul?
Right.
Every time.
Matt, your thoughts on a group or position in sports that is the whiniest of all whiniest whiners?
It's the NBA, guys. And Scott, I'm with you 100%. I cannot stand watching Luka. He's talented. There's no doubt about it. He'll make a shot and he'll put his arms and he makes that it looks like the bitter beer face from the old
yes.
Monsters commercials.
Right.
And it's just so – it gets under your skin. I hate it.
No, you know what it's turned into, too? It looks like the filter that people have been using on Snapchat and on Instagram, the, like, automatic crying face that, like, when you hold it up and it makes you look all pouty and crying. That's what Luka's face looks like all the time. So,
well, here's the sad thing with Luka. He's young.
I know we've got so many. He's 23.
Years and years.
We've got a lot of years. And it's and what we've learned about these whiners like LeBron. LeBron's face is hard to when he's whining. It's hard to take. And the same thing like Chris Paul. He has an all time classic whiny face, right? James Harden is like robotic looking, but he's a flopper and a whiner. So there's that. But I was just thinking, is it just basketball? Basketball is kind of the leader in the clubhouse currently, because in soccer they've cut down a lot on the flopping, and they review so much stuff now that guys just don't go nearly the lengths of that they used to get a call, things like that. So I'm watching it last night, and I'm seeing guys, and at this point you can't even tell who's faking an injury, who's faking getting a hit on the arm. Every call that goes against Luka Doncic, like he has something to say about it. The sarcastic thumbs up to the ref, the whatever. I mean, it's just there's always something to say about it. So there's the position.
You know what I want to see though. I want Dallas to win, and then I want to see him and Draymond Green get into it in the next round. How great would that be?
You know what?
Green's
actually
freaking out on him. He's
I don't hate
complaining
that.
Complaining at the store.
I don't hate that because awesome. If there's going to be somebody who's going to speak out against a superstar and say whatever he wants, it's Draymond Green. And when it gets to the playoffs, if it gets to the Western Conference Finals, stakes are higher, and the whining gets amped up, and the whining about other people's whining gets ramped up.
But it's also that, like, gamesmanship, like see if I can get in his head before the game or during the game. Those players are masterful at trying to get an opponent, like, aggravated.
Oh, for sure.
And that would be even the two of them together, but – just to see how they try.
But
to,
like half of your
manipulate each
half
other.
Of your Lakers roster is an offensive, like just a huge whining group.
Don't get me started on it. And I'm hoping. Oh yes, Westbrook is at the top of that list. I'm hoping they. I'm hoping they just blow it. But their coaching search is getting comical now, right? Like, remember when we talked about Quinn Snyder being rumored? I was like, that's never going to happen. Why would he go to that dump? Now they're going after people who have losing records. Kenny Atkinson from Golden State. And it is a dump down
it's
in
just
LA.
It's just guys who can get pushed around. At this point, they're just looking for guys who can be a placeholder that they can sign a 3-year contract with that'll be gone after one or 2 years. Can they put up with LeBron for 5 minutes, and that's all? That's the new prerequisite. It's just how much of
a for Kyrie, and they just won't have a coach, and Kyrie will do it.
What if you just brought back Phil Jackson?
Hey, he's thinking about it. He wants to get back into the game.
I mean, he's a consultant.
That went so well for him the last time some bad Dallas Mavericks team swept him out of existence.
No problem.
When you're going to like an 80-year-old guy to give you advice, things aren't good.
Why are you making fun of Phil's age?
Phil Jackson's won 11 championships.
Is it just 11?
Dude.
12 rings. I thought that was the name of his
crying.
Book.
There's nothing about the NBA today that has any semblance with what happened in the 90s and early 2000s.
That's
nothing.
True.
They're totally
That's
different
true.
Games.
Let's bring it back. Let's run it back.
Yeah, so Phil Jackson would just be irrelevant.
Just let's see if we can bring it back. Okay, Matt, let's talk to you about some BYU stuff. Utah State and BYU dropping their series. Is that a bummer for you, or is it just a business transaction, as we've seen a lot of people kind of treat it in the last couple of days?
It's not a bummer, and I don't want this to be a shot at Utah State because it's not. It's just something I've really come to enjoy about independent football is the ability to play all these different teams and all these different locations. And now that you're in a conference, you're not going to have the ability to do that except for 3 or 4 games in the non-conference. And I want BYU, and they're doing this in a way that they have decided which games to keep and which ones to cancel. They've kept at Arkansas. They're keeping at Tennessee. They're keeping these really fun, interesting games, Miami. And those are the games I want to have on the non-conference schedule. And all 3 or 4 of them aren't going to be of that caliber, but I want them to travel around and still play games from coast to coast in the non-conference rather than just stay in the state of Utah, maybe SUU, Utah State, occasionally Utah, and then get into the Big 12. I don't want to see that. I still want there to be really fun, interesting non-conference matchups with different conferences coast to coast. And I think that's going to be the approach going forward. And unfortunately, that means Boise State. That's not going to happen very often. Utah State. That's not going to happen very often. And I'm okay with that. And that's not to be disrespectful to Utah State, because Utah State's been a really good game since BYU went independent. But unfortunately, you know, it's just the cost of going to a power conference, and it is what it is. But it doesn't bother me that they're moving away from that game on a yearly basis.
Well, you talk about going from coast to coast. I mean, the Big 12 is from coast to coast almost now.
Good point.
And, I think it would be hard just to have that schedule loaded with some tough non-conference games if you're trying to get into the college football playoffs. Now maybe you have to have the marquee win, but you're still in a really good conference. And it just seems to me that you look at a lot of these even really good schools. I mean, Alabama scheduled next year is not a hard schedule. And it's not a sexy schedule either as far as its non-conference goes. So I just wonder if, maybe considering that, and maybe it doesn't have to be an in-state thing, but still having maybe some of these easier out-of-conference opponents.
But I still think there's an opportunity, though, to play some different teams, even if they come to Utah and they're not Power 5, to keep it light. That would still be kind of fun and interesting rather than doing the same old thing year after year, because you could have Air Force coming to town. You could have San Diego State, which they've done recently. Wyoming's happening this year. So, you know, I'd rather mix a couple of those different type of opponents in rather than keep Utah State, Boise State, and just retread between those same teams over and over again. So Utah State has become – they're in the position that BYU was in for most of the independent era, where they're good enough that it's not just a free win. It's not like over the past 10 years, every time BYU's played Utah State, by and large, it's been a close game, and Utah State's won a handful of them. And their quality, their program quality also kind of makes it hard because you don't get, if you beat Utah State, no one looks at that and says, that's a great win. And if you lose to Utah State, you know, you say, that's a good team, but not a great loss. And so it's just hard. Yeah, if Utah State were bad, it'd be a lot easier to keep the game on the schedule because you can stay in state and get a win, but they're not bad. And I think that makes it a lot harder from a Power 5 perspective. As you know, Scott, I'm sure you felt this way about BYU for the past 10 years, right?
Oh, come on. Scott is
about having BYU as an opponent?
Well, no, just about, hey, we've got to make tough decisions when it comes to scheduling.
Oh, no, there was a concerted effort to make BYU irrelevant at Utah. I'm not joking.
That's true.
That's a true statement.
Well, and I think that a lot of
things. So it's just like, let's not play him. Let's just kind of ignore the
right
there.
This one has less to do with trying to, like, make Utah State look goofy or anything. It just is a function of the scheduling and, I guess, making it a little bit easier. If you can if you have an easy breakup with some of these teams, and I guess you feel okay making it with Utah State, I get a little bit bummed out thinking, okay, the compromise is you'll never put Utah State on the docket, but you'll always have a Utah Tech or a Southern Utah or maybe a Weber State or whatever. I don't like replacing it and putting an FCS team in there and feeling okay about it.
I don't like it either, but that's college football.
And why?
Until we start getting – dude, ask the SEC why. If the SEC will stop doing that crap and play some better freaking non-conference games, then maybe that would trickle down to all these other schools. But unfortunately, college football, it's not like college basketball, where college basketball, you get rewarded for playing great games in the non-conference. It's okay if you don't win. It doesn't hurt your ability to get a good seed. In college football, you play these good games and you lose. It's like, okay, well, you better win out. You better go 11-1.
Right.
And just everything points back to, if we can just expand the freaking college football playoff, then we can play better games in the non-conference because it's okay to lose. You can still get to the college football playoff if you lose. So, there's so many things that are broken in college football, but I'm with you. I hate it. I'd love to play a non-conference of Utah State, Boise State, Utah, and maybe, I don't know, Tennessee. That'd be awesome. But you can't do it because you lose one game, especially in the Big 12. You lose one game, you're not going to the playoff if you have a loss. So you're asking to never get rewarded at the end of the year, and you just can't afford to do that, unfortunately, right now in the system that we're in.
So I'm confused. I thought Utah State was a rivalry game for BYU. This was a big rival. It's a game that's really important that we like to have this rivalry. And now it's like, well, this was just a team that was, like, important to us when we were independent. Because I'm getting two stories here. I just want to know, which one is it?
It's a hybrid of both. So here's the thing, Scott. It is a rivalry game, but of course it's not the most important rivalry game. I think Utah State has been a great partner from a scheduling and business perspective where they often play on general conference weekend and they play it during the week, and so that's been really accommodating to BYU, and I know that BYU has
they haven't played
that
on Sunday.
No, it's very nice of them to not play on Sunday. Yeah, it's very good of them.
Just to say, hey, we want to play on this specific weekend. We want to play on a Thursday or Friday in most cases. You know, so that's what I'm saying. There's the respect, but it's the rivalry.
So it's
game.
Not really
it's
a rivalry.
No. It's a little R rivalry. Yeah, it's like the
yes.
It's not a capital R rivalry. It's not bold letters rivalry. It's lowercase R rivalry. So Matt, as you guys get ready for Cougar Sports Saturday, what are you guys gonna be chatting about this weekend?
We'll kind of break this down and talk about more in depth, just scheduling. What does BYU do? What does this mean? Is Big 12 maybe tipping their cap to a 9-game conference schedule? And then we got a couple football players, Mason Wake, Kingsley Suamataia, they're coming on. And we'll talk about the transfer portal, too. That Antoine Davis story was crazy, wasn't it?
Wild. It was like, so weird. And the way that it ended was just as weird as the way it started up. So, I mean, it's not like – I think BYU fans were kind of going, okay, interesting, cool, fine. But, you know, I do think that the thing that you take out of this is – that Mark Pope will can kind of talk to anybody. I mean, like, he can chat with anybody. He has no problem telling somebody, anyone can play here at BYU for 1 year. Do you want to come do it? Look at our facilities. You can come do this. And there are NIL possibilities in there, all those things. And so it's intriguing, but it's a very Mark Pope move. I think it shows you just like the reach and influence he has to kind of reach out to anybody and talk to anyone.
But I'm also glad they didn't get him, because you just can't build the best locker room in America with a personality like that, in my opinion. He's out to get an NIL deal with Glow Balls. I mean,
hey,
I don't see how that fits into building a good team culture in the locker room if you're just all about getting NIL deals. That's just me.
Rudy Williams didn't mention NIL at all. He came to BYU to ball and to get better. There was no mention of Glow Balls and sponsorships.
Yeah. But maybe you should start doing that. I mean, so it's 2022, man. Let's get the money flowing. Let's get these players in.
Glow Balls is where it's at.
Hey, I know I've played a lot of basketball games in the dark in my day. You got to make the rims glow. That's the problem. You got to make the glow rim now. So that's how you got to make it work. All right,
baby steps. Okay, yeah, baby steps.
We got the glow ball. Now we're just working on. I guess it's a ball for people who don't have lighting. So it's just like it's perfect. If you don't have any lighting, if you don't have a rim that that lights up, then you'll be fine. Matt Biamonte, host of Cougar Sports Saturday. You can read his byline periodically there, too, at KSL Sports, one of our BYU insiders. Matt, we'll talk to you next week, man.
Yeah, hey, before I go, I'm up in your neck of the woods, Seattle. Where should I get food?
Oh, so Dick's Drive-In it's the classic there. It's been there for decades and decades and decades. Very kind of in-and-out style, but really, really good. They're all over the place. And so if you're like in Seattle, there's five or six around the city there.
You're going to send him to Seattle and give him a burger?
Okay.
I had seafood for lunch. All right. I already checked that off. So
yeah,
everybody
goes and they do the Ivers thing and whatever. But, I mean, in the end, there are so many dang good places and I can't keep up with it anymore. So it's just the way it is. You can go to Annie's Cafe and get the 12-egg omelet. Do that 12-egg omelet challenge. See if you can figure that out. So.
All right.
We appreciate it. Have fun up there. Have fun up in the old Pacific Northwest, and we'll chat with you again. There's Matt Biamonte. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got our market update. We've got to also get to a weekend. What are the odds? You don't want to miss any of that. We're here at the Warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West in Salt Lake City. We'll come back. We'll also be able to hear from Tom Curl coming up next. Our first time with Tom this weekend. So stay with us. Unrivaled continues. 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Just had a little something come across the wire here, Scott.
What? Across the wire?
Yeah, Phil Mickelson.
Never heard of him.
Out of the PGA Championship.
What?
So he's withdrawn from that, too. This is a bad hiatus. This is a bad look for golf right now. I don't know what the future of golf looks like, but
Phil Mickelson's not the future of golf.
No. I know, but I'm just saying
he's kind of on the wayward end of things.
Yeah, he's a pot stirrer. You always love those pot stirrers in any of the sports you watch. I do. I want to see him play though. I mean, that's the thing is, I watch those tournaments. I want to see Phil play. But again, he's kind of at the tail end of things. But there you go. Officially, he's not going to be playing in the PGA Championship.
When is the PGA? Is that like it's coming up soon? Right?
Yeah.
Is it Memorial Day weekend?
I think it's the week before. It is. It's the 19th.
So that'll be next weekend.
Next week, and Tiger's been kind of secretly prepping. Secretly, like every camera is like secretly recording him, so it's not a secret.
Oh.
So there you go, Scott. The Dow Jones today. I'll give you a little bit of a market update brought to you by the folks at TryDayTrading.com. In the green today, plus 466, up 466 today. That's a percent and a half. The NASDAQ up 3%, and then the S&P 500 was up another 2.5%. So good days on the market. And that update's brought to you by the folks at TryDayTrading.com.
Well, Elon Musk and his Twitter.
He says stuff, man.
He's like, that affects things.
He can move some stuff.
Apparently, there's some fake accounts in Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there are.
A lot of fake accounts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a fake account?
No, I've got a real one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might as well be fake. I mean, I tweet, but
wouldn't
you know.
It be kind of fun to have a fake account and then you could just you could really kind of just
hide behind it? Kevin Durant has multiple Twitter accounts.
Personalities?
Well, that too, but he has multiple. He's been caught not switching accounts and commenting on his own account with his other own account.
Yeah, that would get confusing.
Yeah, and so people are like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Huh?"
You have a Twitter war between yourself.
With yourself? Well, I think
different personalities.
Or no, this is the best one. I think Kevin Durant is handsome and he makes a great point. This Scott Mitchell's such a great guy. Like he's a lot better looking in person than people think. And you need to give that guy some slack, man.
Well, and he's funny too.
Sings well. Just starts giving himself
an amazing personality.
Just is fun to be around. See, that's the kind of stuff you got to tweet out. So there you go. What are the odds goes like this, Scott?
Because if you do it as yourself, it doesn't come across as good, right?
Oh, it doesn't?
No.
You've tried it?
Tried it.
You've gone the full, you know, I'm actually pretty good looking.
Well, I talk about me in the third person.
Yeah. You know, Scott Mitchell is one of those guys you want to get to know. I'd say so, Scott Mitchell.
I know him well.
Great point, Scott. Yeah, look, nobody knows you better than you, so you give an honest assessment. Great hair. Great cook.
Yeah, keep going.
See? That's what I'm saying. All right. Do you snore at night? Are you using a CPAP machine to treat sleep apnea? Sound Sleep Medical can improve your life. Visit soundsleepmedical.com, who presents our What Are the Odds? A weekend What Are the Odds going into it. So I give you a scenario, Scott. You tell me a 0 to 100% chance I think will or will not happen. And then we assign a jersey number to it, too. I like when we get through a bunch. So let's just mow through these.
Yeah,
you ready with this?
Let's mow.
Now,
hey Mo.
I think one of the intriguing bits, of course, for us is, and certainly New York is very interested in it, but out of the AFC East, everybody watched that draft that the Jets had, and here locally, of course, we have Zach Wilson that we are pretty interested in, see how he does. And it's year two, which is what you told me. You told me to take the entire year off last year of criticizing Zach Wilson, or at least thinking about criticizing Zach Wilson. But now the gloves are off, and year two, we got to get critical, right?
So what's the question?
The question is, what are the odds that Zach Wilson gets the Jets to 6 wins or more this season? Their over-under, I think, is 5.5.
I think this is actually higher. I think there's a high probability of this, and I'll tell you why. How much have you heard from Zach Wilson this offseason?
Yeah, just the cussing session on the golf course.
A
That's
big
it.
Zero,
yeah.
Right?
Head down.
Head down.
Working it out.
He goes, boy, I'm with the big boys now, and I got to figure this out, or I'm out, right? And so the best news is that there is no news Zach Wilson.
That's a great point.
Or his mother.
You know, I think that they had to have a couple of come to Jesus moments after last year.
Yeah.
And just some of the things, it's like, you know, like we do this with our moms, right? In our lives where you kind of go, Mom,
you're embarrassing the heck out of me.
Mom.
Would you take your gloves off when you drive me to junior high?
Mom.
It's so embarrassing.
Mom, my friends are right here. I didn't know that embarrassed you. Well, I'm sorry if I embarrassed you. I guess your mother is embarrassing. Is that right, Zach? Like, he turned into, Mom, like, what we're doing right here is a little bit bigger than just your social media account.
You don't tell Dan Marino he has a weak handshake. You don't do it.
Well, he did. Isn't that what your mom did?
He did. He had a weak handshake. He's like,
Marino did?
I,
what the heck?
Well, he goes, I didn't want to hurt your mom's hand.
Oh, so he shook it softly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's a pioneer woman. Like you don't need her to be like, don't go easy on.
I know. Pioneer don't go easy women on, say, you know, you got a weak handshake.
That's what I'm saying. Don't go easy on Sister Mitchell. Come on.
I didn't know I had to warn him beforehand to
hey,
say,
listen,
give her a good stout handshake.
You've got a weak handshake, Dan Marino. I just love that idea of your mom telling him that. Thanks.
Anyways, back to the Jets.
What is it?
I'll say it's junior sale, 55%.
Oh, a little shout out.
Above 50%.
Okay, I'm going to go even higher. Vegas has it at 5.5, but I think the money line is moving that direction. And I'm going to say I'm going to go there too. I'm going to give it a poof. Let's go with a Jared Allen 69%.
Okay.
There you go. Scott, real quickly, what are the odds that James Harden stays with the 76ers? Now, you saw Joel Embiid actually goes, it's not the same guy he used to be in Houston. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I think it's I'll go Danny Ainge 44% when he was with the
Ainge
Celtics.
Ainge was 44, that's right. 22 at BYU, 44 at the Celtics? Hey, would you take James Harden here in Salt Lake?
I probably would.
At the Jazz? At this point, you're desperate?
Just, yeah. Anything.
Whatever, man. I'm going to say I'm going to say he's going to stay with the Sixers because I still think he's the best option they probably have right there. I'm going to go with a 76ers 76% chance.
Okay.
There you go.
It's not a number, but yeah.
It is a number.
No, they don't have a jersey for that.
It's on their jerseys.
It's on everyone's jersey.
Yes. The entire team, 76ers.
Yeah.
Oh, you think that's a cop out?
I think it's unoriginal. Who's 76 that's not a 76er?
You know what? I can't think of a 76. Can you? I didn't want to go 75, and I wasn't feeling 77. So I gave it a 76ers, 76% chance.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on into another edition of Unrivaled. It's a Friday edition of the show. Thanks for being with us. Hope you're going into your weekend in fine fashion. Unrivaled, of course. I'm Alex Keery. He is former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell. We are here at the warehouse in Salt Lake City. You've heard Tom rolling out some of these furniture prices. Come down. Let's get some ridiculous prices on some of that furniture you're already looking for. 1825 South, 300 West here in Salt Lake, just east of the Salt Lake City Costco. That's where you can find us here. We've got some college football to talk a little bit, and we've had this guest on a few times on the program. Pete Futak of College Football News joining us on the program. Pete, thanks for being with us.
What's going on, guys? How you been?
We're hanging out. Look, I've got shorts on and I'm at work, so things are really good. You know, I mean,
and I really wish
that's
you had
actually
pants on.
That, no joke. That is the definition of that. What is the biggest perk of my job? Is it working out of the house and seeing my kids grow up? Is it writing about football? No, it's that I don't have to actually look good.
Yeah.
Except for the dumb Zoom calls.
That's
then
true.
I have to actually shower and look presentable.
We're actually having that discussion today.
Well, you can put like filters on. You can put backgrounds. You can
sure.
You can kind of. You can manipulate it a little bit.
Oh, God. My problem is my hair. I have long hair for a guy, and which means that if I wear a hat, I get yelled at, or I have to, like, shower. That's just the worst. I mean,
nobody wants that noise.
Nobody wants that noise.
No, exactly. And we were talking about that today because, actually, it's kind of the point now, I think, in our culture, people are pretty often late to Zoom meetings, which is really bad. Like, if you're late to Zoom meeting, and people do it all the time, they go, "Oh, sorry about that. I was," and then they usually try to say they were on another call or whatever. But you're going, you were late to a phone call. Like, that's, you had one job. You don't have to be anywhere. You can't be late on Zoom anymore. Okay, so that's just,
to keep this PG. They were either in the bathroom or napping.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's
exactly right.
Basically, what they were doing.
Yes. That's exactly right. All right, well, Pete, we're in that time of year where, you know, we're through spring football for the teams across the country, and we are trying to make our best guesses as to what the summer is going to look like with these guys, with these teams rolling in. And I think that one of the great things that happens right now is that we absolutely lose complete track of what a team is capable of. I think case in point, USC out here out west in the Pac-12 is one of these teams that just gets an enormous amount of respect after finding a way to lose it over the years. How is it that we do this in the offseason where we convince ourselves that a team is maybe a little bit more of a higher plane than they probably should be?
Because they should be, and that's kind of the problem. Where, you know, even last year, the Pac-12 people I know in the biz were just like, yeah, you know, it might be Arizona State's year. I was all in on Utah being good. I didn't think they were going to win the Pac-12 championship, but I sure thought they were going to be good. But everyone was sort of, look, the talent's at USC. The talent is always at USC. But obviously when things went wrong early on and the team just sort of lost it and it was just a ghost season for them, well, now they got Lincoln Riley. And start with that. They got the guy who might be the best college quarterback in the country, all due respect to Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. But Caleb Williams is probably, if he does what he was doing at Oklahoma over the second half of last year, he's it. He's the guy. I mean, there was a stretch there where I was stumping for him and saying, there's your Heisman winner. Lincoln Riley, if he was the coach right now of, I don't know, the Dallas Cowboys, would we be shocked? No. Combine that with the talent base that's in place, all the other guys and all the other parts that are coming into the mix, either by legal or, air quotes, illegal means here, and all of a sudden it's kind of coming together, and with what USC can and should be. With the NIL rules, that's the number one spot for everything, for just combination of media market, giant school, flashy offense. That's it, because we know once they figure it out, forget it, Pac-12. They're going to have more talent than everyone else. It's just a question of how fast they get there.
Yeah, I know. That's scary. And it's everything you said is so true. I mean, it really is with USC. And just watching it and covering it, you scratch your head. You just go, how does this team, with the talent they have, you go, how did they not win the Pac-12 every year?
I think and
they somehow find a way not to. It's just it's baffling to me.
Clay Helton's a nice guy. So start with that.
The honest truth
is that the best coach for this job, if it wasn't going to be Lincoln Riley, and now that Urban Meyer has imploded, it would have been Lane Kiffin again. Lane Kiffin was actually a great coach for them, but because he's Lane Kiffin, that obviously didn't work the first time around. They weren't going to do that again.
And he's totally grown up now, which I really love how mature he's become now.
I am an unabashed Lane Kiffin apologist. You can whatever you want, whatever that guy does, dude can coach. That dude
it's
wins
true.
Everywhere he goes. Ole Miss. That's Ole Miss, and they won 10 games last year. I mean, that guy can absolutely coach. And people forget that he took over USC right at the beginning of the USC Reggie Bush coma penalties.
Right.
So, and then they had the one big year, and everyone was disappointed because, oh, wait, they don't have any guys to recruit anymore.
Right.
They couldn't. So anyway, but they got rid of him because he was Lane Kiffin, and they held on to, they had Steve Sarkisian, who had obviously problems. And then they held on to Clay Helton because he was a good guy.
Right. Way too long.
You root for him. And they kept him just a couple years too long. The USC fan base assumed Urban was going to make the move down from the Fox studios over to the program. And there's your next USC coach. Didn't happen, obviously. And now they get Lincoln Riley, who, if this doesn't work, it's certainly not USC's fault because they got easily, you could throw Brian Kelly in this mix, easily the best coach in the potential free agent coaching circle. Of college coaches.
Where does Arch Manning go?
That's going to be a fun one because it's obviously he go wherever he wants. If it's not Alabama, and I just think that would just offend the entire Manning family if that's not it, you got to assume it's Tennessee. I think that because that is the program that has the offense and the ability to rise back up. And I think there's a parallel here because to where when Peyton Manning took over, you know, that for people of a certain age, remember, that team was right up there. That program was right up there with any in college football, where they were churning out 10 pro guys in the NFL every single year. And then the year after Manning leaves, they win the national championship. But I would think that would be the right fit with that Josh Heupel offense. But certainly, obviously, the Ole Miss ties with Manning are going to be there. But how long is Lane Kiffin going to be there before he takes over a bigger gig? But obviously he can go anywhere he wants.
Pete Futak joining us from collegefootballnews.com. If you want to obsess yourself, you want to overanalyze some things, get with Pete and go see what College Football News. No, but listen, all 131 teams, preseason win total projection. That's the kind of stuff that I live for, where you go in there and you go, I got to see where this team is in May, even though it doesn't matter. And it might change by the time we get through fall camp. It doesn't matter. One of the things we're dealing with, though, with all of this is now trying to reel back some of the NIL and subsequently some of the transfer portal stuff that goes on. And is there something to fix? And how do you fix the name, image, likeness stuff, or are they just addressing it by saying, "Hey, as long as you're not recruiting with it, then we're in a good spot"? Or is there more that needs to happen to fix, quote unquote, fix the NIL situation?
Yeah, you framed it the exact right way in terms of air quoting fix. I'm still trying to figure out where there's a problem. Like, what is the who's getting injured here? Who's having the issues with NIL other than you know, schools have to kind of adjust and do things a little bit differently. Because if you are, for example, I don't know why George Klivikov and anybody in the Pac-12 would be complaining about this at all, and they're right there with the SEC, because they got the media markets. You know, you want to talk about where the name, image, and likeness money is going to come from. It's going to be from the places that have pro-style cities. And I know nobody in San Francisco cares about college sports, but that's a big, giant media market, and you've got two Pac-12 schools there. Eventually, you're going to move to have some sort of footprint in Las Vegas. That's going to be a media market. Obviously, L.A. is as big as it gets. Seattle is big. Phoenix is a top six media market. I mean, they've, unlike the SEC, which has, what, Atlanta, and now they're going to get Dallas relatively soon, and Miami, the SEC doesn't have the media markets that the Pac-12 has. So what's the differentiating factor for the Pac-12 to get up there? Well, you start figuring out how to institutionalize some of these NIL deals. Certainly Oregon's got a built-in way to do that. And there you go. But I'm failing to see where there's this big problem with NIL. Now, I do get the transfer portal. That does need to be tweaked. It's not fair to the coaches, not fair to the players. It's just not fair in general that you can't really run a team knowing that the second you put someone number two on your depth chart, the vultures are going to swoop in and take them away. So I think the NIL stuff, fine, who cares? Really, it's just guys getting jobs. That's really all this is. But you've got to then fix the transfer portal so you just don't have unfettered free agency.
Where is interesting, the media market line there, that's an interesting take on that. Where is Utah this year? I mean, they had a great year last year. They returned a lot of people, but, I mean, a lot of people think that they're going to win again, potential playoff team. But you, as you mentioned at the beginning of this, I mean, a lot of people are really high on USC. So where is Utah?
Well, where is USC, I guess, is the question. And it's the unfortunate part about college athletics. I live here in Chicago, and my running joke to people here is, you know, how do you know the Big 12 is, or Big 10 is down? Because Northwestern just won the Big 10 West. You know, you don't have a Northwestern winning or an Iowa State winning or any sort of quirky, you know, blip unless the big player programs are down. And the window was wide open there for a UCLA or an Arizona State to kick it in, and Utah did it. Now, the difference between Utah here, which I've always kind of loved, they just have the right style. They always reload with big guys, great defenses, a tough running game, a tough mindset. You know, I was there at Wisconsin during the Barry Alvarez era and saw how they put that thing together. And, no, they might not have the talent of the Ohio States and the Michigans of the world, but every year you know Wisconsin is going to come up with large human beings on the lines, and you know exactly what you're getting. And that's what Utah's at. And Utah, even if USC has all the five-star guys, even if they have all the talent, the Utah style is still going to step up and punch you in the mouth, and you still have to deal with that every single year. So long-winded way of saying it's really up to how good USC really is, because UCLA is going to be better. This is when it finally should start to kick in even more for Chip Kelly. Arizona State's going to be a little down. Arizona's not there yet, and Colorado's not there yet. So in the Pac-12 South, you know, what do you got? You got Utah. It depends on where the L.A. teams are going to figure in. But certainly, if you're in Utah, even with some of the lost parts and some of the lost stars of last year, you just got to assume that you're just going to kind of reload and be right in the mix for the Pac-12 title again.
Of course, also in our footprint, BYU fans are really excited about this program getting to the Big 12 in 2023. What's a successful couple of first seasons when you go into a conference like that? If you're BYU, what's a reasonable level of expectation?
Win it, because the good guys are gone. I mean, that's kind of you lose. I mean, Texas, I know, hasn't won squat in the last few years, but Texas is gone. Oklahoma is gone. So what? If you're BYU and you're this program that has, especially at home, where you have this great home field advantage and you always seem to rise up and play well against the big guys, really your season comes down to beating Baylor or Oklahoma State? I mean, that's just not that bad. So if you're BYU, look at this team coming back this year. Look at the schedule. This should be another 10-win season if everything breaks right. And then once you get into the Big 12, again, you're not going to the SEC West or anything. I still don't know why Oklahoma and Texas is doing this.
See, but I think we already do the thing here where people start to apologize already for BYU before they go in. They go, well, you're new. They're going to be new. It's going to take a minute for them to really kind of get their footing and really start to recruit, you know, along the lines of what a Big 12 program should be looking like and spending-wise and blah, blah, blah. So it's like they build in 4 or 5 years or 8 or 10 years before they'll, like, allow you to start thinking about being a championship contender, at least in the football and basketball world.
We just had the NFL draft. In the NFL draft, about, and it just happened the same way for the last, 10-ish years or so, roughly 23-ish percent so was taken up by the SEC, another 15-ish percent or so taken up by the Big Ten. So realistically, about 40 to 45% of every NFL draft is taken up by the Big Ten and the SEC. And most of everything else from the Big 12 is coming from Oklahoma and Texas, for the most part. It's not like they're recruiting, the Oklahoma States and Iowa States are recruiting gangbusters around a BYU. So there really is no excuse or no grace period here because, again, you're going into a conference. You know, UCF's going to be good. Houston's going to be good. Cincinnati's going to be good. But, you know, again, you're not going into a conference with, you know, Alabama and Georgia and Florida or Ohio State, Michigan State here. This is a winnable conference for a program like this. It's okay to set their sights high. And by the way, talking about name, image, and likeness, you want to talk about who – it hasn't really been talked about nationally – who kind of ruined it with the model for everyone else? Do you think that an Alabama is going to catch on to the idea of why don't we just pay up, make sure the walk-ons are paid? And right. let's just subsidize them because you want to talk about old school getting around the scholarship limit.
BYU's always been, you know, kind of a trendsetter. That's the way we like to think of ourselves.
Well, a bunch of cheaters, the pro is what they are.
And on this, if you're BYU, you know, it sounds cute. Okay, we're just going to pay the – make sure that the scholarships of the walk-ons are paid for. Well, take that up to another degree when if you're, you know, running a farm system at a place like in Ohio State or somebody like that. I think that's one of the things that the presidents and the NCAA is a little bit worried about.
Well, that, you know what I love is that the people of all the schools to get in trouble for, like, you know, kind of, you know, living on the border of what's legal and what's not. I love BYU being at the front, at the
perfectly
tip of that
legal,
spear.
Perfectly.
It's hilarious.
It's all fine.
Right now it is. Absolutely. Pete Futak, collegefootballnews.com. That's where you can read his byline there. Great stuff as usual, Pete. We're looking forward to talking to you, as the season starts to get going, as fall camp starts to come upon us. Thanks for
any time, guys. You have a good one.
There you go. You know what?
97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Attention. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday to you. It's Unrivaled 97.5, 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Scott Mitchell over here to my right. He's sitting on a nice sectional, so am I. We're at the warehouse in Salt Lake City, 1825 South, 300 West. That's where we're found. Let me see here. Tom rolled out some crazy deals. If you want to hear him again, we're going to do it again in a few minutes here. He's really jumped on to the what are the odds number jersey now, the jersey assignment numbers. It's leaked over into his sales prices, Scott. So there you go.
We like to have that influence on people.
I know. Just throw some numbers out there.
Our show permeates into their normal everyday life.
Sure. No, that's the way I like to think about it too. Early odds for some of these games for BYU, and this is not for betting purposes. Okay, our bosses make us say that. This is for entertainment purposes only. But it also just kind of shows you, if there are experts out there in whatever these – I mean, when they set these lines, they try to have a pretty good idea as to where these teams are sitting or what the possibilities would be, because you don't want to set a crazy line in another direction and then just go – I mean, they don't want to lose money on this thing. So they try to be pretty close. Now, the money could move one direction or another, but here are some of the ones that I was surprised by. From one of these big sports book houses, and that's that Utah goes into Florida 2.5 point dogs at Gainesville. Now you have to kind of read into this. Home games give you about 3 points, so that means that Utah might have an edge in terms of talent on Florida by half a point because they only got the 2.5 from if it was 3, that'd be kind of that they were evenly set, and then the only factor that was offsetting it was the home game advantage that Florida has. So do you think that that's a correct line, Utah not favored in that game against Florida right out of the gate? I think that the real question mark is, what on earth is Florida going to be in that first game of the season?
Well, what you have, so if I look at it and say, I think Utah's the better team, probably the better put together, the more experienced team. But Florida's always got SEC talent. It's the first game of the year.
Florida talent, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It has the home crowd, the home court advantage, field advantage.
Got it.
And that's a real thing. It's a more real thing because of humidity. Depending upon when if this game's played after dark, it's not going to be.
Guarantee it's going to be.
But if it's played in the middle of the day,
it's going to be like 2 p.m. It's going to be awful.
It'll be stifling. It really will. I'm just telling you.
You've been on that from the beginning. As soon as that game was set, you're like, humidity.
I know what that is. When you play in humidity and you've never played in it, it is so real. Playing in South Florida with the Miami Dolphins, it was a massive advantage.
Would it be helpful to go out? Would it be helpful to go out Wednesday and get the kids acclimated like that?
I don't know. I don't know if going longer, because I don't know that two or three days get you acclimated to humidity.
That's true.
You need months. It's almost like stay out of it and away from it as much as you possibly can. Conserve
till you
energy,
have to play it.
Till you actually have to do it. That's probably how I would do it. So I could see that. And Florida is a whole new program, so you have no idea. And that can work for or against Florida. Now, down the road, I think it works against them early. I just don't think you have enough time to really put it all together. And I think Utah knows the significance of this game, knows they have to get out of the gates early, and they really have the team, you know, to get out of the gates early because they have so much veteran playing and experience on both sides of the ball. There are some positions that they're going to have to, you know, linebacker replace that, but there's a lot of experience on the rest of that defense.
Another head scratcher for me was BYU and Baylor. BYU's hosting Baylor this year. They're not going down to Waco right. Like they did last year. Last year, Baylor was a 5.5 point, sometimes 6-point favorite during that week. BYU's a 2.5 point favorite in that game, hosting the Baylor Bears. Thing is Baylor, I don't know how everybody thinks that they've suddenly gotten worse, right? Gary Bohannon's not going to be their quarterback this next year. He lost that quarterback battle and transferred out. But, man, this is the Big 12 champion. These are the Big 12 champions. So a 2.5-point favorite for BYU, that to me is pretty shocking that they threw that out there. They didn't lose a ton of guys.
Well, they lost some guys. I mean, they lost this, you know, some –
running back, yeah, but the big thing was that Baylor is still coming back with an immense amount of talent.
See, you just wonder with a team like Baylor, are they able to consistently recruit enough to compete against some of these big time programs in Texas, like Texas A&M and Texas and Oklahoma and some of these other schools that they compete against in recruiting? You know, have they established enough consistency to get those kind of recruits? Or are they kind of a you know, one and done, or they flash in the pan kind of thing. I don't know.
I mean, some of these
folks are really excited in Baylor about the coach and kind of the culture.
Sure.
What's happening there.
And I'm not super shocked by this one because I still think that we're just – but there is some guessing going on. But Oregon is a touchdown favorite versus BYU hosting them in Autzen. The Utes are a 3-point favorite going down to the Rose Bowl at UCLA. We don't even think about that. They're going down to play that's like basically their home field too. Basically the Utes' home field too.
But the Rose Bowl, which is a great place to play,
right,
is never full. You know, so right. There's no crowd noise
unless it's the actual Rose Bowl.
It's right. It's a comfortable climate to play in. It's a good time of year. And Utah just matches up very well against Oregon. Against USC, UCLA. And they always have.
USC comes to Utah, and USC, Scott, is a current favorite against Utah. Now, this one's a head-scratcher for me because it's at Rice-Eccles Stadium, which means that they get 3 points for that, basically.
Yeah.
And USC's still a 3-point favorite.
Yeah.
Which means they kind of look at USC, if all things are equal, on a neutral field, as USC being a 6-point favorite in that game. That is insane to me.
So, I think if Utah played USC earlier in the year,
it'd be a line in favor of Utah.
I think it really would, just because I think – I think USC is not, they're not, it's going to take them some time to kind of figure it out. Just so many guys in the transfer portal, so many new guys. What USC will not realize, though, Salt Lake is a hard place to play. And I know Caleb Williams played in, you know, some big-time football as a freshman, but not sure that it's this kind of
– it's as hostile as they'll be playing at
anywhere.
All season long.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's worse with that closed-in south end zone.
It's gotten
a lot louder. Utah will make it very, very uncomfortable for USC.
And then finally, BYU and Notre Dame. Notre Dame coming to Vegas. This is a neutral site game, so no home team, you know, officially. But Notre Dame almost a 10-point favorite against BYU in this one. That seems insane to me.
Yeah.
Double digits. Anytime you're getting near that double digit mark on a game. Because Oregon, to me, if you would have put Oregon at maybe a 9 or 10-point favorite against BYU, I'd have been a little bit more amenable to that being at Autzen versus Notre Dame coming in and being – see, this is it's the same reason that USC is getting way too much respect, I think, with that -3 against Utah coming to Salt Lake.
This will be a home game for BYU.
Irish will travel tons of people.
Yeah, but so will BYU.
For sure.
They, a lot of people. I mean,
I rewatched the Pac-12.
I saw Fan Fest, okay?
Oh, yeah.
When BYU played Arizona down
in Vegas, yeah.
And this is Notre Dame, and it's later in the season. It'll be nice in Las Vegas at that time. Not that that matters for the game, but just folks will show up for BYU in that game.
I rewatched the Pac-12 championship game. It was on Pac-12 Network maybe last week, and I was just watching bits and pieces of it. I was in the kitchen doing something, and I was kind of toggling between it because it was like a late night game and everybody had gone to sleep, and I was rewatching that thing. Scott, I forgot how ridiculously overly red that place was. It was as if the Oregon fans don't not travel either.
No.
But what they do is they kind of smell blood in the water. Knew what was going on with that team. Some of them were in Salt Lake 2 weeks prior, and they were like, this is no good. So I watched that game and I went, oh my gosh, I'm watching the Devin Lloyd pick six, and they go to the crowd. And there wasn't one group of green in that whole friggin' building. No.
I remember, because we got there really early, and just watching that place fill up.
You're like, there's not like, one green.
Okay, a lot of red. A lot more red.
Oh, there's a green hat.
Wow, still filling up with red.
A couple BYU fans show up.
And then they were showing the bridge going from Mandalay Bay, and it was just a sea of
red. All red.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was like the Red Sea had parted.
It's amazing.
Here came the children of Israel.
That weekend, I think about that weekend and the Rose Bowl weekend for Utah fans, must have just been the coolest. Yeah. Must have just been the coolest thing for them to experience as fans. So let's take the break here. We'll come back. We got more to go on the program here. We have our. I've got a little story for you on. We just talked with Pete Futek about this, about the transfer portal and about NIL, and he says that NIL is not the problem. It's the transfer portal. Well, I've got another wrinkle in there for you too. One big time program coach not real excited about some of the things that are going on with the transfer portal. We'll talk to you about it next. Stay right here with us on Rival Continues, 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies. Y'all ready? This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. A little bit of Yaz bringing you back into the show.
Am I supposed to remind you of Miss Texas?
Oh, yeah. That wasn't on the air, though.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Never mind.
No, that's not for air.
Okay.
It's has to do with...
Just direct message me. DM me.
I'll slide into your DMs with my Miss Texas story.
Yeah.
It was funny. No, it was just things that people sometimes will, because I was in Texas growing up till I was about 15 before we moved up to Seattle. And Texas is funny, man.
You were born in Texas.
I am a Texan by birth.
By birth.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm also, I've never really, I think when you're there, you're supposed to claim it. And when I left, I was kind of like, oh.
Left that in the rearview mirror?
Well, but what happens is you tell people you're from Texas, and then you realize it's probably better not to tell people you're from Texas.
Why?
Yeah, they start doing this whole, like, people are weird in Texas, man.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they do.
No. There are other places that have weird people.
No. I mean, for sure.
I would not go, oh, yeah, Texas has
weird people.
Texas,
you guys are weird. Well, anyway.
You know where they're weird people? Northern Michigan. Weird people.
Oh, the Upers?
No, nah, not quite to
oh,
the
Uper. Oh, not there.
Those are like your Michigan militia people. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, they blow
things up.
They
tried to kidnap the governor up there.
Yeah, those
What's their problem?
I'm just telling you, that's where the weird people are.
Yeah. No, you know what? It's northern anything, really. Northern Idaho? Yeah. That panhandle up there? I'm not kidding.
And northern Idaho is just this little tiny thing, too.
Whoa, yeah.
Idaho is not really a north. Listen, it's kind of an east and west, and then there's this little
We used to go to Priest Lake in the summertime. That's the northern part of the state there up in the panhandle.
Right.
And, dude, they had a massive group, and the FBI was all over these guys, but they have a massive group of white supremacists up there. There was a radio station that they used to advertise on I-90 coming across the state of Washington before you get into the Idaho panhandle called K-Clocks. That was the actual name of the radio station. KKLX. Yeah, like the Ku Klux Klan, brother.
Yeah, got it.
Like, you get into Idaho up there, we settle down.
No, northern Idaho.
Oh, northern Idaho, sorry. I'm trying to think. Is there like a thing with northern Springville? So those people from northern Springville? That's actually just Provo.
No, that's South Provo.
No, that's South Provo. That's now that has its own thing,
well,
too.
Well, there's South Central in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's and South Provo. Yeah, South Very Provo. Similar.
South Ogden.
Yeah. Oh, see?
Yeah.
Yeah. Southern Davis County.
So cool. Really where you have the problem in life is when you have directional.
Directional.
Directional schools and sports.
You don't want to be a Southeastern anything.
No. Yep.
You could be a and even like a Western, you don't want any of that noise.
No, Western is bad.
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Of all the directions.
Western Kentucky.
Give me a Southeast. If you throw in two directions, you're toast.
Right, yeah.
You're going to lose every week.
Multi-directional.
Southeastern, say no more. I won't accept the scholarship.
Northeastern no Michigan Tech.
No, see?
And a Tech.
You're throwing a Tech. You're dead.
Throwing Tech.
You are dead. Yeah. Hey, go Utah Tech. Did they have to change the are they still – what are they?
Southern Utah Tech.
And technically it's Southwestern Utah Tech.
Yeah, and you can't say Dixie. Don't.
Oh.
No Dixie.
We have to bleep that out, don't we?
Do not say Dixie. That's
gosh,
a bad
one. Dang it.
Yeah, whatever you do, do not say Dixie.
Scott, the NIL, fine. They're dealing with it. You got to figure out how to pay these kids. The transfer portal is an interesting beast because that's one thing that they feel like that the college football leadership out there still has a real problem with. I mean, we saw yesterday Gary Barta saying that they should implement the 1 year wait period again because that's how this NIL thing get reeled in and the transfer portal stuff's turned crazy. Mike Norvell, who's the head football coach at Florida State University, during a media session this week, actually said that his players are being tampered with. Players that are not in the transfer portal. You heard Pete Futak talking about it, too. It's like, look, these teams know they watch other teams' depth charts after the spring. And if there's a guy that hits that second part or loses that quarterback battle, you can't reach out and say, hey, man, you want to come to our school? It's illegal. And that's clear cut. But the thing is, it's gotten so shady now that to be able to, quote, unquote, reach out to some of these kids who are thinking about jumping in the transfer portal and to say, hey, I noticed it's not working out there for you at Pitt. We'd love to have you come out. And Jordan Addison, this guy did it coming out of Pitt, going to USC, and they're alleging that USC was tampering with him. So then you have this thing where you go, because there isn't that wait period, that's the only reason I would have to look at this thing and say you might have to penalize guys or you might have to go with a one-year waiting period. You do get the one time, though, and you can't do it after that. You can't do it a bunch. You can just do it the one time without penalty. But I think that there is way more tampering in college football to try to get guys to go into the transfer portal. Once they're in the transfer portal, you can talk to them, right? But before that, you're seeing a lot of guys who are suddenly being influenced and going into the transfer portal and going to a team.
Well, it's the player's choice, right? And as a player, it's like, how do you know if you're going to go in the portal and what's going to happen? Like, you have no idea. The way it's designed, you just go in. I have to believe it has to deal with because they got to communicate with these guys, right? So you recruit a ton of guys, and they don't all come to your school, but you still have their contact information. And so data is king. Like data is worth is so valuable. So if you have this, you just have a way to contact these players. It's all you need. And maybe it's a booster that contacts them for an NIL deal. You know, that's not related to the university, but somehow magically gets their phone number from the recruiting department at the university. Or maybe it's just a coach reaching out. I don't know, but because that's
or
the only
think
that's
about the
only,
guys.
But
think they about the guys.
They have these players' numbers. So
oh,
this,
for sure. They'll
this
say
Addison guy. He's. You know, he probably was recruited by tons of schools.
Well, half the time, like I said, too, the other thing that happens is this. Hey, didn't you go to high school with that kid? Oh, yeah. I was teammates with him. Or I played in this 7-on-7 league with him or whatever. And then those guys can text him. Have your brother text him and see what his interest level is.
And I guarantee it happens here locally. You can't tell me that, like Samson Nakua didn't end up at BYU and there wasn't some discussion with somebody somewhere saying, Puka goes, hey, I'm going to BYU. I'm doing, you know, there just is. And it's the same thing, you know, guys ending up at Utah State who were at Utah when Gary Anderson left Utah and went to Utah State.
Or the kajillion guys who transferred with Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
Or even Blake Anderson. Anderson came, I mean, how many members of that team were associated with Arkansas State at some point?
Francis Bernard ends up at Utah.
Huh?
From BYU.
That was just it was just an easy one.
Yeah.
Just come up the road. Nick Saban mentioned something about tampering. He says, I don't know of anybody that tampered with Tyler Harrell, talking about a former Louisville. That's a Louisville wideout that now is at Alabama. He said, you know, I don't feel I know anybody's ever tampered with our players. I just think sometimes when things happen, it makes you wonder. And so I'm not making any accusations against anybody that's done anything to our players. I don't have any knowledge anybody's done anything like that with anybody else's players. It just makes you wonder. And you go, then something's happening. Like, it just makes you wonder. I'm not accusing anybody because these guys are probably all doing it.
It has to happen.
On both sides.
Come on. It has to happen.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It is 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Thanks for hanging out with us. Beautiful Friday to you. You know what I did? I did the old golf situation. Up at Valley View in Layton.
The old golf situation.
Hey, look, I moved up to Davis County, and I'll be darned, they have awesome golf courses up there. So I took advantage today.
You know what I find peculiar about Utah?
What?
So it's so...
We are a peculiar people.
It's so regionally biased.
What do you mean?
So, like, you go, well, I live up in Davis County.
Yeah.
And so all you talk about is what's going on there, and the people up there are just like... The world revolves around what's going on there. And then the same thing here
now,
in
listen,
Salt Lake.
But this is what it
was. And Salt Lake's even kind of like.
Oh, it's worse.
There's Salt Lake, and then there's like maybe Cottonwood Heights.
There are people.
And then there's like the south end of the valley. And then, of course, there's the west side.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
See, but you know what's funny is I know people who live here in Salt Lake. When we were in East Salt Lake, they were like, I won't go anywhere south of 33rd South. I don't even know what exists past 33rd South.
And then it's like, then there's Utah County. Right?
Oh, yeah, it's a total
thing. And Utah County is just a totally different, like, discussion and animal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what baffles me is they go, oh, so where'd you grow up? I go, I grew up in Springville. Oh, where's that?
Oh, no, they don't.
Oh.
People do?
All the time.
Well, that's the thing is I always take pride in, like, when
where
you live a place.
Springville?
When you were, like, so, like, when the places I grew up, if you didn't know where some place was, people looked at you weird. They'd be like, why don't you know that?
And
that's
you know who it is? It's people from Davis County.
Oh, that's bull.
Yeah.
You know what happens up in Davis County? People go like this.
I know where Plain City is, and I know where Hooper is, and I know
those
where
aren't Davis County.
Well, Weber, Davis County. It's all the same up there.
Oh, see? We're doing it now. You doofus. See, that's the thing is that people go – we were talking about this today with because when I lived in Salt Lake, when I told people I was moving up to Fruit Heights, they were like, oh – that's great. And then a week later they go, how's Bountiful going? Right?
Right.
And because people in Salt Lake, it's Bountiful.
Right.
Lagoon,
right?
Idaho. Yes. That was the that was the thing we were talking about.
There is Maddox in Brigham City.
Brigham City, yeah. It's all about
now,
food.
Now Logan is.
It's all about food.
Logan. It's not even. Yeah.
It's the thing. It's the, what's that? What is that? Scott just did a hand like it's a ooh.
Same thing with St. George. Same thing going out in Vernal.
I think people are more comfortable going out to St. George than they are to Logan half the time.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I don't want to go up to Logan. So, yeah, Maddox Chicken, man. That's what it's all about. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to kick off this hour with the cut. So let's jump right in here, and we're going to get to some a little bit of some NFL since the schedule got released.
I have something, though, I want to talk to
Scott's
you
got something that he wants to talk about, so we'll also get to that. So let's jump in here, the cut, right now on Unrivaled.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut brought to you by the good folks at University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the folks at the Jazz, RSL, and University of Utah all trust. uofuhealth.org. Go to uofuhealth.org. Proud sponsors of the cut. Scott, what was it you wanted to bring up?
Well, so we've had these discussions about NIL.
Nil.
About the transfer portal, about the whole transformation of college football.
Yes.
Right? The fact that this is potentially going to go to a professional type of league.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
We were having
that conversation. Yeah. And like, here's the thing about everyone's like, well, these players should be paid. These players should be you know, because it's basically a minor league for professional football. Like, you even made the comment of, you know, a lot of these guys aren't even going to go to school. Like, that's where this potentially could go.
Well, that's where basketball already is, right?
So here's my like aha moment. Most of the kids who play college football do not go on and play professional football.
Yeah, of course.
Most of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're at a university. What purpose?
Should be to get that degree.
To get a degree, yeah. And most of them do. I mean,
Utah, especially like places like here, BYU, Utah, those guys, they graduate people.
They graduate people.
Mm-hmm.
But so much of this focus is now just shift to, you know, these are professional players. They should be played. They should be paid. They should be compensated. They should do all this. But most of them, so I did some really quick dirty math. 3,275, just Division One, playoff. You know what is it? You know
FBS. Yeah.
FBS, mm-hmm. Right? 3,275 players. Do you know how many players are drafted every year? 224.
That so 3,275 is
what? The total number of seniors, and this is seniors, right? And the number could even be higher because sometimes juniors,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's like around 4,000 players, and 224 get drafted. Now, there are probably more that get signed as free agents and stuff like that.
Right. But I think Mr. Irrelevant this year was 266.
Okay.
Either way, it's in the two.
Somewhere around there.
If you're playing college football.
I went seven rounds, 32 picks around.
Right.
So I got 224. And so, maybe there's extra there's compensatory picks.
Right, sure.
They have some extras. Fine. 260, I don't care. It's a small number. Now, on every roster in the NFL, 53-man roster, there are 1,696 active players in the NFL right now. And you have a lot of these players that are playing, you know, double-digit careers, but most players, they play 3.1 years. That's the average
career.
That's
kind of the average, yeah.
So all these colleges really want to go to a professional model. They want to act like these players are professionals. The reality is most of them aren't, most of them won't be. And we've had the discussion. I've had the discussion, you know, let these play, you know, treat this like a professional league, set it up like the NFL. And I'm like, how do you keep the colleges involved? And it's like, it's still college athletics. Most of the players need that degree, need to get that education because they are not going on and they're not playing. And that's just football. I mean, look at basketball. I mean, if you're not like a first round draft choice in the NBA,
it doesn't. Yeah. You don't matter.
You know, it's like 30 players a year out of all the schools that play basketball.
So what are you saying? But see, that's what I'm saying. That's more of an argument as to why you should pay these guys right now, because they're probably not going to have, because this is going to be when they are visible, when they are marketed as a key piece of the university.
So they're going to get $100,000, and then they don't have an education. I mean, it's like,
why don't they have the education?
Because most of them aren't going to go on and play professional. If you're just keeping it a professional league, then these players aren't going to get an education, and most of them aren't going to go play professional. So they're going to play in this lower tier professional league that's kind of veiled as a college football program, or have some affiliation with a college football program, and then it's over for them. And what the better route is to make sure the colleges stay involved in this, make sure that most of these kids graduate, or all of them graduate, and still keep that a significant focus of college football. And I think we've got so wrapped up in the transfer portal and the NIL that we've really forgotten most of these players are never going to play professional football.
And a lot of the sports that, I mean, basketball and football are just two of the sports that we're talking
right.
about here.
Well, the other sports, there is no profession. I mean, there's some baseball, but baseball is different. But kids who play baseball and are good at it, they go right out of high school.
Well, and they got to go through the farm system. The farm system is like no joke. I mean, you'll be drafted first overall. I had a friend in high school who was drafted in the first round of the MLB draft. Grady Sizemore ended up being an all-star a couple of years in Cleveland, and he was an insane baseball player. Signed with Montreal right out of high school, and he got just under $2 million as a signing bonus because he was a first-round kid. And you know what? It took him 5 years before he even got to the bigs, like before he got to big baseball. And that's our version of AAA baseball is college football now. But it's kind of weird because it's also gotten to, you know, how many AAA guys can you say are earning in the six figures at all? That's not the way. That's not the way it works. Unless they're a big signee and you know they're waiting kind of until they're just kind of warming up on that club till they get to the bigs.
But what happens to all those guys when they don't make it? Where do they go? They don't have an education. What do they get into if they have to give up that? And that's what I'm saying with college football is I don't think in all of this change that really. We should forget that they still really are amateur athletes. And you want them to stay in these schools. You want them to get their education.
The ones who are going on to the NFL is really a 1.5 to 2% of college football players.
Yeah, probably not even that many.
And
I mean, you take BYU. They have one player from last year's team, maybe that might make it, and that's Tyler Allgeier.
Right.
Utah has one. Devin Lloyd, and maybe some of these other guys, maybe they
trickle in,
but they're not going to be these like, you know.
That's the best team that Utah's had in a long time, too.
And a really good football team. And just most of them don't go on. And I think we're losing sight of that.
Because we worry about, well, how much money are they getting? But see, the NIL, I hope these kids, I want them to get paid while they're at school. And I think a lot of them are going to get paid for these NIL deals. And get these big chunk, you know, kind of paydays that they would have never gotten before because it was against the rules. And I think they're totally – a lot of them are still totally aware of the fact that they're not going to go on and be a significant professional.
See, I think
somewhere.
They all think they're going to go on.
There are a bunch
of – That's why they all leave school early right. and you scratch your head
There's
and
a
go,
bunch of delusional –
Why did you leave?
I wouldn't even say the kids are delusional as much as I would their inner circle, right? You know, some agent – tries to get him to go a little bit early or their dad.
Yeah.
You know, how many dads have we watched of just quarterbacks here in the state at the University of Utah who've convinced their kids they're better than they actually are?
It's because these parents and these kids grow up being the very best at where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't realize that as it shrinks down, the very best is like it is a small group of people.
Everybody's at least as good as you in that spot.
Yeah.
So, and guess what? They were better in their small town than you were in yours.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Anyways, I just, we were talking about that earlier.
Scott's all about the education for the kids.
It's just that most of them aren't going to go on and they need that education.
I just wonder too. I mean, I look at this and I see some of these guys who, we talk about NIL, and we don't have as many specifics because some of it is, it's not that it's under the table or anything like that. It's just that we have these, we have very few examples that are verified and straightforward. We only talk about the ones of, did you hear about that six-figure deal that that kid made at that school, right? And it's this, like, nebulous kind of, we just assume that there's way more money out there in the NIL sector than there actually probably has been. We overestimate and go, well, there's a kajillion dollars that's been thrown at this thing. There's kids signing for $1 million. And that is, that's an even smaller percentage of people who are getting, taking advantage of those types of deals. And so we probably over-talk about NIL like it's this pervasive thing that has just gotten so huge and every player is getting paid out. If you're on a Division I FBS, if you're on Ohio State, you're getting 20 grand a year, you know, like at least. And that's just not true. I mean, it's just not true. There are, at even these big schools, there are these guys who are playing fullback and they see the field and they never see anything else. They don't see any money from the NIL deal. They don't see much money coming from a collective. And just because they're on, I think that we certainly have, we've thrown a lot of value at these, scholarships and books and, you know, stipends for pay, for food and for living and all those things. And then we go, yeah, and how much are they going to do on top of it? And I don't think that we, I think we overestimate. We think that these kids are, and that's a problem for these kids too, because everybody's going to see them and go, oh, you guys are all paid anyway, right? Every kid on the, oh, these kids are on this roster, they're all getting paid. And you go, yeah, maybe not. I mean, the reality is probably not, or they're not making much money at all, or it might make up for the fact that they can't have a full-time job.
You look at the NFL and how much money is in the NFL and the players and their salaries, and they're significant, but there's still just 32 teams. I mean, if you broke down all 131 teams in college football, it doesn't have the same kind of revenue that the NFL generates. And you're paying coaches, you know, a significant amount of money. I think it'd be hard to pay play 100 players or 88 players or
what was it?
Maybe the rosters get smaller.
What was the number at BYU? I think it's 130, right?
Yeah,
I think the Bilt had made deals for walk-ons plus the scholarship guys.
Yeah,
so you think about it in that sense. But we also kind of, if you were to look at the money and to say, hey, they're going to pay their tuition for these kids or whatever, it's actually not a huge amount of money for these huge companies. I don't know how much of it they can write off. I don't know how much. Maybe they're just paying, because they're paying them as employees, it's a little bit different, or like a contract employee, yeah, almost in a sense. I don't know how that works, but I do think that we're probably unfortunately, a lot of these kids are going to get mixed up in the, oh, yeah, but you guys are in college. You get that NIL money, though, right? And people are like, that's more like our quarterback and our running back.
I wonder if that's how those collectives are set up, in a way where it's a charitable donation to the university some kind of,
right, and I don't know, if you can
ability
do that
to write it up,
because there's advertising. I mean, think about some of these companies end up being part of that. Like
you hear a lot of people going, "We're doing this as a way to give back to the university," and
so maybe that's a way they kind of float under some of those tax laws.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes, yes.
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It is 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Thanks for hanging out with us. Beautiful Friday to you. You know what I did? I did the old golf situation. Up at Valley View in Layton.
The old golf situation.
Hey, look, I moved up to Davis County, and I'll be darned, they have awesome golf courses up there. So I took advantage today.
You know what I find peculiar about Utah?
What?
So it's so...
We are a peculiar people.
It's so regionally biased.
What do you mean?
So, like, you go, well, I live up in Davis County.
Yeah.
And so all you talk about is what's going on there, and the people up there are just like... The world revolves around what's going on there. And then the same thing here
now,
in
listen,
Salt Lake.
But this is what it
was. And Salt Lake's even kind of like...
Oh, it's worse.
There's Salt Lake, And then there's like maybe Cottonwood Heights. There are people. And then there's like the south end of the valley. And then of course there's the west side.
Oh yeah, yeah. Right. See, but you know what's funny is I know people who live here in Salt Lake. When we were in East Salt Lake, they were like, "I won't go anywhere south of 33rd South. I don't even know what exists past 33rd South."
And then it's like, then there's Utah County. Right?
Oh yeah, it's a total.
And Utah County is just a totally different like discussion and animal.
Mm-hmm.
Like what baffles me. Is they go, oh, so where'd you grow up? I go, I grew up in Springville. Where's that?
Oh, no, they don't.
Oh,
people do?
All the time.
Well, that's the thing is, I always take pride in, like, when
where
you live a place.
Springville?
When you were, like, so, like, when the places I grew up, if you didn't know where some place was, people looked at you weird. They'd be like, why don't you know that?
And
that's
you know
man.
Who it is? It's people from Davis County.
Oh, that's bull. Yeah. You know what happens up in Davis County? People like, go like this.
I know where Plain City is, and I know where Hooper is, and I know
those
where.
Those aren't Davis County.
Well, Weber, Davis County. It's all the same up there.
Oh, see? We're doing it now. You doofus. You doofus. See, that's the thing is that people got. We were talking about this today with because when I lived in Salt Lake, when I told people I was moving up to Fruit Heights, they were like, oh, that's great. And then a week later they go, how's Bountiful going? Right?
Right.
And because people in Salt Lake, it's Bountiful.
Right.
Lagoon,
right.
Idaho. Yes. That was the thing we were talking about. Yeah,
there is Maddox in Brigham City.
Brigham City, yeah. It's all about food.
Now, Logan is.
It's all about food.
Logan. It's not even. Yeah,
it's the thing. Geez. It's the, what's that? What is that? Scott just did a hand like it's a.
Same thing with St. George. Same thing. You got same thing going out in Vernal.
I think people are more comfortable going out to St. George than they are to Logan half the time.
Yeah.
They're like, well.
Yes.
I don't want to go up to Logan. So, yeah, Maddox chicken, man. That's what it's all about. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to kick off this hour with the cut. So let's jump right in here, and we're going to get to some a little bit of some NFL since the schedule got released.
I have something, though, I want to talk to you
about. Scott's got something that he wants to talk about, so we'll also get to that. So let's jump in here, the cut, right now on Unrivaled.
The Unquestioned. Undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut brought to you by the good folks at University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the folks at the Jazz, RSL, and University of Utah all trust. UofUHealth.org. Go to UofUHealth.org. Proud sponsors of the cut. Scott, what was it you wanted to bring up?
Well, so we've had these discussions about NIL,
nil,
about the transfer portal, about mm-hmm. the whole transformation of college football.
Yes,
right. The fact that this is potentially going to go to a professional type of league,
mm-hmm.
right?
We were having that conversation.
And like here's the thing about everyone's like, well, these players should be paid. These players should be, you know, because it's basically a minor league for professional football. Like you even made the comment of, you know, a lot of these guys aren't even going to go to school. Like that's where this potentially could go.
Well, that's where basketball already is, right?
So here's my like aha moment. Most of the kids who play college football do not go on and play professional football.
Yeah, of course.
Most of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're at a university. What purpose?
Should be to get that degree.
To get a degree, yeah. And most of them do. I mean,
Utah, especially like places like here, BYU, Utah, those guys, they graduate people.
They graduate people.
Mm-hmm.
But so much of this focus is now just shifting to, you know, these are professional players. They should be played. They should be paid. They should be compensated. They should do all this. But most of them, so I did some really quick dirty math, 3,275 just Division I playoff, you know, what is it? You know,
FBS. Yeah.
FBS, mm-hmm. right? 3,275 players. Do you know how many players are drafted every year? 224.
So 3,275 is
the total number of seniors, and this is seniors, right? And the number could even be higher because sometimes juniors
mm-hmm.
right? So maybe it's like around 4,000 players. And 224 get drafted. Now, there are probably more that get signed as free agents and stuff like that.
Right. But I think Mr. Irrelevant this year was 266.
Okay,
either way, it's in the two.
Somewhere around there.
If you're playing college football.
I went seven rounds, 32 picks around.
Right.
So I got 224. And so, maybe there's extra there's compensatory picks.
Right, sure.
They have some extras. Fine. 260, I don't care. It's a small number. Now, on every roster in the NFL, 53-man roster, there are 1,696 active players in the NFL right now. And you have a lot of these players that are playing, you know, double-digit careers, but most players, they play 3.1 years. That's the average career.
That's kind of the average, yeah.
So all these colleges really want to go to a professional model. They want to act like these players are professionals. The reality is most of them aren't. Most of them won't be. And we've had the discussion. I've had the discussion, you know, let these play, you know, treat this like a professional league. Set it up like the NFL. And I'm like, how do you keep the colleges involved? And it's like, it's still college athletics. Most of the players need that degree, need to get that education because they are not going on and they're not playing. And that's just football. I mean, look at basketball. I mean, if you're not like a first round draft choice in the NBA,
it doesn't. Yeah, you don't matter.
You know, it's like 30 players a year. Out of all the schools that play basketball.
So what are you saying? But see, that's what to I'm me, saying that's is, more of an argument as to why you should pay these guys right now because they're probably not going to have – because this is going to be when they are visible, when they are marketed as a key piece of the university.
So they're going to get $100,000, and then they don't have an education. I mean it's like –
why don't they have the education?
Because most of them aren't going to go on and play professional. If you're just keeping it a professional league, then these players aren't going to get an education, and most of them aren't going to go play professional. So they're going to play in this lower tier professional league that's kind of veiled as a college football program, or have some affiliation with a college football program, and then it's over for them. And what the better route is to make sure the colleges stay involved in this. Make sure that most of these kids graduate, or all of them graduate, and still keep that a significant focus of college football. And I think we've got so wrapped up in the transfer portal and the NIL that we've really forgotten most of these players are never going to play professional football.
And a lot of the sports that, I mean, basketball and football are just two of the sports that we're talking
right.
about here.
Well, the other sports, there is no profession. I mean, there's some baseball, but baseball is different. But kids who play baseball and are good at it, they go right out of high school.
Well, and they got to go through the farm system. The farm system is like no joke. I mean, you'll be drafted first overall. I had a friend in high school who was drafted in the first round of the MLB draft. Grady Sizemore ended up being an all-star a couple of years in Cleveland, and he was an insane baseball player. Signed with Montreal right out of high school, and he got just under $2 million as a signing bonus because he was a first-round kid. And you know what? It took him 5 years before he even got to the bigs, like before he got to big, big baseball. And that's our version of AAA baseball is college football now. But it's kind of weird because it's also gotten to, you know, how many AAA guys can you say are earning in the six figures at all? That's not the way. That's not the way it works. Unless they're a big signee and you know they're waiting kind of until they're just kind of warming up on that club till they get to the bigs.
But what happens to all those guys when they don't make it? Where do they go? They don't have an education. What do they get into if they have to give up that? And that's what I'm saying with college football is I don't think in all of this change that really. We should forget that they still really are amateur athletes. They you want them to stay in these schools. You want them to get their education.
The ones who are going on to the NFL is really a 1.5 to 2% of college football players.
Yeah, probably not even that many.
And
I mean, you take BYU. They have one player from last year's team, maybe that might make it, and that's Tyler Allgeier.
Right.
Utah has one. Devin Lloyd, and maybe some of these other guys, maybe they
trickle in,
but they're not going to be these like, you know.
That's the best team that Utah's had in a long time, too.
And a really good football team. And just most of them don't go on. And I think we're losing sight of that.
Because we worry about, well, how much money are they getting? But see, the NIL, I hope these kids, I want them to get paid while they're at school. And I think a lot of them are going to get paid for these NIL deals. And get these big chunk you know, kind of paydays that they would have never gotten before because it was against the rules. And I think they're totally – a lot of them are still totally aware of the fact that they're not going to go on and be a significant professional.
See, I think they all think they're going to go on.
There are a bunch.
That's why they all. That's why they all leave school early. Right. And you scratch your head.
There's
and
a
go,
bunch of delusional.
Why did you leave?
I wouldn't even say the kids are delusional as much as I would their inner circle. Right. You know, some agent tries to get him to go a little bit early, or their dad.
Yeah.
You know, how many dads have we watched of just quarterbacks here in the state at the University of Utah who've convinced their kids they're better than they actually are?
It's because these parents and these kids grow up being the very best at where they are,
mm-hmm.
and they just don't realize that as it shrinks down, the very best is like it is a small group of people.
Everybody's at least as good as you in that spot.
Yeah.
So, and guess what? They were better in their small town than you were in yours.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Anyways, we were talking about that earlier.
Scott's all about the education for the kids.
It's just that most of them aren't going to go on and they need that education.
I just wonder too. I mean, I look at this and I see some of these guys who, we talk about NIL and we don't have as many specifics because some of it is, it's not that it's under the table or anything like that. It's just that we have very few examples that are verified and straightforward. We only talk about the ones of, did you hear about that six-figure deal that kid made at that school, right? And it's this, like, nebulous kind of – we just assume that there's way more money out there in the NIL sector than there actually probably has been. We overestimate and go, well, there's a kajillion dollars been thrown at this thing. There's kids signing for $1 million. And that's an even smaller percentage of people who are taking advantage of those types of deals. And so we probably over talk about NIL like it's this pervasive thing that has just gotten so huge and every player is getting paid out. If you're on a Division I FBS, if you're on Ohio State, you're getting $20,000 a year, you know, like at least. And that's just not true. I mean, it's just not true. There are, at even these big schools, there are these guys who are playing fullback and they see the field and they never see anything else. They don't see any money from the NIL deal. They don't see much money coming from a collective. And just because they're on, I think that we certainly have, we've thrown a lot of value at these scholarships and books and, you know, stipends for food and for living and all those things. And then we go, yeah. And how much are they going to do on top of it? And I don't think that we overestimate. We think that these kids are – and that's a problem for these kids too because everybody's going to see them and go, oh, you guys are all paid anyway, right? Every kid on the – oh, these kids are on this roster. They're all getting paid. And you go, yeah, maybe not. I mean, the reality is probably not, or they're not making much money at all, or it might make up for the fact that they can't have a full-time job.
You look at the NFL and how much money is in the NFL and the players and their salaries – and they're significant, but there's still just 32 teams. I mean, if you broke down all 131 teams in college football, it doesn't have the same kind of revenue that the NFL generates. And you're paying coaches, you know, a significant amount of money. I think it'd be hard to play 100 players or 88 players or
what was it?
Maybe the rosters get smaller.
What was the number at BYU? I think it's 130, right?
Yeah,
I think the Bilt had made deals for walk-ons plus the scholarship guys.
Yeah,
so you think about it in that sense. But we also kind of, if you were to look at the money, and to say, hey, they're going to pay their tuition for these kids or whatever, it's actually not a huge amount of money for these huge companies. I don't know how much of it they can write off. I don't know how much. Maybe they're just paying because they're paying them as employees. It's a little bit different, or like a contract employee, yeah, almost in a sense. I don't know how that works, but I do think that we're probably. Unfortunately, a lot of these kids are going to get mixed up in the, oh, yeah, but you guys are in college. You get that NIL money, though, right? And people are like, that's more like our quarterback and our running back.
I wonder if that's how those collectives are set up in a way where it's a charitable donation to the university
Right, and I don't know if you can
do that. The ability to write it up.
Because there's advertising. I mean, think about some of these companies end up being part of that. Like
you hear a lot of people going, "We're doing this as a way to give back to the university," and
so maybe that's a way they kind of float under some of those tax laws.
Here we go!
Go get it! Let's go!
That's it!
It's time for for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium Grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback. And the other guy on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled 97.5 1280 The Zone. The Zone Sports Network. Hey, tonight, the Salt Lake Shred firing up as one of Utah's new professional ultimate frisbee teams right here in the U.S. This is this league's gaining traction, and their home opener is here. They're 2-0 on the season already. And so tonight at Zions Bank Stadium in Harriman, you can see our very own professional Salt Lake Shred ultimate frisbee team. So go check it out. $15 at the gate or saltlakeshred.com. That's saltlakeshred.com. Scott, the NFL Roundup looks like this. We roll out some NFL stories. I was going to give you some of these win totals before we get into, our some of these stories that we've been looking at. You tell me just a quick over under if these things are going to be happening. Okay, Bills over under for this year is 11.5.
Over.
Jets 5.5.
Over.
Where is it though? Where do you think? What do you? How many?
It's over
how many
five
games,
and a half.
But I mean, how many games do you think the Jets?
Seven
win?
To nine.
Wow, that'd be nice. Cowboys 10.5.
That's a tough one.
I'd take the under.
Almost feels that way.
I'm never bullish on the Cowboys.
I'll go under.
I'm bullish on Dak Prescott, and that's like about it.
Yeah, I'll go under.
Okay. Packers
under.
11 wins.
Under.
You're going under.
Yep.
You didn't even care what number. If I'd have said six, you'd have gone, yeah, they'll be under.
I think the Packers are kind of.
They're falling off.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers just doesn't seem mad anymore.
Well, here's the. He's always mad.
Hasn't said anything this offseason. He's like boring. It's like, is he even around? Something wrong with him?
We need some drama.
I know.
The Rams are former Super Bowl champions. Are 10.5 wins.
Over.
Be tough. How are the Packers projected to win more games than the dadgum Rams?
Probably the division they play.
Well, but the Rams are actually – I think their division got weaker because Russell Wilson moved out of it.
Right.
And the 49ers – no, but that's what I'm saying is the Rams are projected to win fewer games.
Rams are tougher division.
Oh, wow.
Seahawks, the Cardinals.
See, you said Seahawks, but you're trying to fool with me.
49ers,
now.
Sorry. 49ers.
All right.
Cardinals.
Did you say the Seahawks are going to do well this year? Is that what
no.
you said? Oh, okay. Chiefs, 10.5 wins.
Oh, man, they've changed some things. I'll say over. They may have freshened.
That's 17 games. I mean, you win go 11-6. That's actually like.
Yeah, I know.
Raiders, 8.5.
I'll say over.
I will too. I'm actually going to take the over on that one too. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers actually with. Tied with the Bills for the most projected wins on the season, 11.5.
I'm going to say under.
Oh, because you think Tom Brady's not going to be around the full season.
I'm going to say under.
And then the Broncos, this is a wild one.
This is a tough one. It's a tough division.
Double-digit wins, 10 wins is their projected over-under. I'm going under.
Go over.
I'm going to go under because Russell Wilson, his best years were in Seattle. Yeah!
Ooh.
I got to say it.
Left it all in Seattle.
Thank you so much.
I left my heart
appreciate
in Seattle.
Appreciate it. RG3, Robert Griffin III.
Yeah.
This is an interesting thing because he says the Jets need to win 10 games this year. Well, I don't know why they would, quote, need to win 10 games. In my mind, I mean, they haven't done anything. They haven't had a winning season since 2015, okay? And they haven't made the playoffs in more than a decade. But RG3 says that this is a now or never time for the Jets. Do you look at it like it's a now or never situation for the Jets? I think you've kind of set it up that it's a now or never situation for Zach Wilson.
I think you have to have significant improvement. Like what you have to have is, you know what, we really made big strides with what we've done building this team. But if there's still holes in the team mm-hmm. where there still needs to be improvement at some position or another, then I don't think 7 wins is
insane.
Is a bad year for the Jets right now. I mean, this is a team that's
been he says
way out for a long time.
If they win 10 games, if they go 10-7, I mean, they're likely they could be a wild card team.
I think 10-7 is dangerous for actually the Jets. too fast, too quick. This team needs to
Why would that be dangerous? You can build off of a 10-7 season. I mean, like, everybody says you're going to be setting the expectations too high after you have a 10-7 season.
I think that's what happened with Baker Mayfield, that it wasn't a realistic expectation. Then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, you got to be in the playoffs and you got to go deep in the playoffs. And I think the Jets just need some more seasoning.
Some more seasoning.
I do. Yeah.
Are you talking about like a rub?
Just, well, yeah.
Or are you talking about like your cast iron skillet, that kind of seasoning?
They need to be more battle tested so that they can actually go somewhere in the playoffs. I'll tell you another person that, like Justin Herbert, could be a victim of that, where it was a real big bump that first year and he kind of improved. But if he falls off
even a little bit, people are going to go, maybe he doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the concern.
Okay. So the next one up here, Malik Willis. You remember that whole thing with Ryan Tannehill? When he first got drafted, and Ryan Tannehill controversially said,
right,
I'm not here to mentor this kid. And everybody freaked out about it. The reality was, we know he's not there to mentor that kid. You get mentored because you're around a guy like Ryan Tannehill, I think. And I know everybody looks at that like Ryan Tannehill's nervous about his job. Well, of course he is.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
If I'm Malik Willis, why the heck do I want to be mentored by Ryan Tannehill? I mean, really, it's like, I don't care that you mentor me. I mean, because what it's like, I don't want to learn average things. I don't want to be a placeholder. I don't.
Wow.
And so, you know, Wow was right, but it's true. Like, what's Ryan Tannehill done?
Hmm.
And so, you know, I'm not, you know.
You're not nearly as high on the situation with you know what? That's actually, I love that. You're like, hey, Malik Willis should have actually said it too. I don't actually want to be mentored by Ryan Tannehill.
No.
What's he done?
I mean, I wouldn't say that, you know, because then that just throws gasoline on a fire.
Right. But then you'd be thinking.
But just in the background, I mean, just play it casual. You know, it's like, hey, I get it. You know, I'm just excited to be here and learn from whatever I can from Ryan. I don't care. But I don't want to learn how to hand off the football. Okay, big deal. Teach me how to read a defense. You know, teach me.
Cool, man.
Give me the pace of the game.
Cool.
You know,
can you teach me how to hand the ball off a little bit harder?
Wow. Man, that was some insight right there.
Oh man, you handed that ball off so hard.
I don't want to learn that from my guy.
Like the technique you had when you handed that ball off, amazing.
And just so you know, the worst ball hander offer guy ever was Dan Marino. He's terrible at it.
How can you be terrible at it? He was one of the best quarterbacks ever.
Watch him.
What do you mean? Like, what? Like, he suddenly was like, what do I do? Oh, I don't know what to do when I hand this ball off.
He did everything you're not supposed to do.
Give me a quick 101 on handing the ball off.
Just so you know, handing off the football and the play action fake after it, so overrated.
Play action is the whole thing the league's been ever built on.
Nobody's watching you. Okay,
I love when you watch a quarterback in college and they'll do the thing where they hand the ball off and then they go and they do like they do their own play after that.
Yeah.
And you go, where are you going?
Yeah. It's like,
what are you doing?
There is only one time it matters, and it's when you do a bootleg. It's the only time that it matters. Beyond that, it does not matter.
Oh.
Because the linebackers,
they're reading the offensive linemen. They act like you're going to go.
They're not sitting in the backfield going, hey, what's the quarterback?
We got two guys spying to see if the quarterback's going to really roll out this time.
Is he really handing the ball off?
If it's this time, he's going to roll out.
No. So dumb. And it all happens so fast.
I love this.
But so Dan Marino handed off the ball, and then he turned and watched the running back. He's like, what are you doing? Because it's like, because no, your keys, like any good defensive coach is not like, because you, like the worst cardinal sin, don't have your eyes in the backfield.
Right, you got to watch that. If you're a linebacker, you're going to be
reading
watching
offensive
those centers.
Linemen.
Yeah,
does he pass set? Does he down block? Is this guy pulling?
Is he pulling?
Mm-hmm. And that's it. And it's like, don't ever. And it just was whatever.
I'm gonna write a DM to Dan Marino, say Scott Mitchell said you handed the ball off so terribly.
There were games Dan Marino goes, we're not running the ball again until we're leading this game. I'm gonna throw it until we're leading this game.
What was the most attempts you had in one game? in the NFL?
I don't know.
In college, you were like 60 a game.
I think there was a 65 in college once.
Oh, I thought you were going to say in the pros. I was like, that's insane. No, but you're – but like 45, I've seen you have a 45 to 48.
I think I've had over 50.
Before. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
All right, there you go. There's the NFL roundup. We're going to take a break here. By the way, your Detroit Lions, Scott, when the schedule got released, they're the only team that don't have a primetime game.
Of course. You know what? When we were there, we had at least
– oh, here they go.
Yeah, baby. March on down the field.
Get out of here. I just picture you in the locker room getting pumped listening to before you guys go out.
I would hear this during the game and I'd go, What is this? And then it's like, oh, it's the fight song.
It's our own fight song as a pro team.
Yeah, it got me fired.
The only team that you've ever even known to have a band is Washington.
Let me tell you the worst thing about Detroit. Okay, the worst thing. The
worst thing.
Is the lion would roar.
Yeah, like Cougar Stadium. Rawr, rawr,
and
rawr.
It sounded like a toilet flushing. I'm like, y'all need to fix that, and it's just because that's really bad.
But it wasn't like, necessarily about the sound, the sound effect itself, as much as it was just about, you know, these cruddy in stadium speaker systems.
Yeah. So bad.
So right. The lion roar was to a toilet flush.
Like the toilet flush.
That sounds about right for you, that franchise.
Yeah. It's like, what is this place?
All right, we're gonna take the break here. We'll come back. Got our 2-minute drill around the corner. Stay with us. Unrivaled continues. 97.5, 1280, The Zone.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Okay, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. At the Zone Sports Network. Hey, we're going to talk to Tom Curl in a minute here. It's going to be our last time to chat with Tom for today. But I'd say today are the biggest deals we've ever heard from this guy. And I know people say, you always say that. But Tom rolled out some crazy deals today. So you'll get here.
I think it's been crazy today.
It's been wild.
Yeah.
So come down to the warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West here in Salt Lake City. If you're looking for furniture. And somebody comes in and goes, do you do dining tables? And I was like, almost fell out of my chair because I was going, Clayton just gave you the craziest deal on a dining table. So, yes, they do. 2-minute drill, we're going to fire up some music as we usually do. That music, of course, means that the 2-minute drill is upon us. And Scott Mitchell has run a 2-minute drill in the NFL. Tell us what it's like to live in that huddle, Scott, and what we do in a 2-minute drill.
Well, I'd be glad to tell you. Late in the football game, you have to go down the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time, so you hurry. Our show's the same way. Still have a lot to talk about, not a lot of time, so talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry up, finish the show, go home happy with the trophy, because everyone gets a trophy these days. And, of course, we get a whole bunch of desserts. We call it a plethora of desserts,
plethora.
Which include chocolate souffle, donuts, and nothing from Sam Farnsworth in the category of candy.
Yeah. The Whorehound. You don't want the Whorehound candy.
No. Werther's Originals.
Actually, I like a Werther's.
Well, I like them, but just they don't make the list of, you know.
They're not the ones that you're like, hey, honey, grab me a bag of
they're not the
Werther's
boom,
Original.
They're not the boom deal
no.
Desserts.
They're the one that happen. When grandpa hands them to you, you go, oh, yeah, these are good.
Yeah.
They're good. Let me roll this one out, Scott. Tell me what you think. Tell me if this is a shot from Joel Embiid to James Harden. Joel Embiid says... Obviously, I'm not sure what we got with James Harden. I think everybody expected the Houston James Harden, but that's not who he is anymore. He's more of a playmaker. I thought at times, as with all of us, could have been more aggressive. What is he trying to say by this, Scott? Because I'm trying to figure out if he's being complimentary. It seems like a weird thing, like, hey, he's not the same Houston James Harden. Houston James Harden is the one that everybody was hoping that they would get, right?
Well, I think that's probably the case in a lot of these, you know, where he went to the Nets as well. I mean, he was a remarkable player. It almost feels like to me when James Harden is kind of that second guy, you know, because you got Kevin Durant as number one. Kyrie maybe would have been number two, or he's maybe 2A, the two of those guys. And Joel is number one in Philadelphia, and he's like Mr. Two guy. I don't think he's a good two option. I think he flourishes. I think he's at his best when he is the dude.
Well, he looked terrible last night.
No, I know.
When they got eliminated, he looked terrible.
And so I think you and you just wonder, you know, motivation, if he thinks the team maybe doesn't have a shot at winning a title, you know, how, you know, it's kind of that LeBron syndrome where, look, we may win this game, but we're outmatched here. This team's clearly better than we are. We're not going to win this series. So maybe he's just like, I'm not going to extend myself. I'm not going to play hard. I don't know.
I know
there was a guy named Charles Mann who called out Mark Rippon, and he goes, "We will never win a Super Bowl with Mark Rippon." and they lost in the playoffs, and they just, he goes, "He's just not a guy, you know, he's not a quarterback that's going to take us to win a Super Bowl." And the next year, Mark Rippon was the MVP.
They won the Super Bowl.
Had this a remarkable season, and they won the Super Bowl. So people kind of get upset when you lose in the playoffs and whatever.
You know, when I became a dad, Scott, I think my parents kind of looked and went,
"What, you got a dad bod after you became
no,
a dad?"
No, that's for sure. But I think when I became a dad, like, my parents were kind of going, "Good. We'll see. Like, we'll see what this guy does." You know, because I'm the youngest. I had a pretty I had a long leash. You know what I mean? Like, right. I think I was a little bit of a handful.
Parents don't care when the last one comes around.
No, I was a little bit of a handful. I was a little bit of a handful for sure. Not too crazy, but, you know.
I'll bet you were a handful.
I was a handful. And Deion Sanders has said this. NCAA, you have a problem. Deion Sanders says NIL money is causing behavior issues among players. Imagine if Neon Deion, which, by the way, I'm sure he had NIL money without when he was at Florida State. I mean, come on. But Deion Sanders is complaining about behavior issues among players because of money coming in. Come on, Deion. Well, this is, you knew we are. They are, like, who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Listen, like any good old veteran football player, he's just bitter. They're all bitter. We're like, why was this not around when I was, boy, would I have blown this out of the water?
When he says,
and probably the issue is with Deion, and it's Coach Prime.
It is Coach Prime.
Coach Prime.
Yeah. He says, I'm trying to help this thing out. Money makes you more of who you really are, and think about that for a good minute. My players are the same way. When you start paying these athletes like professionals, you get athletes acting like professionals. I hope so. Like on the field, at least. That's what you're hoping for, right?
No, they become prime time.
Prime time.
He
says, you don't have staffs large enough and equipped enough to handle young men with money. Let me go deeper. Handle a young man that's making more money than some of the coaches on. Try to handle a young man that's making more money than some of the coaches on the staff. Now that's a little bit of a problem. Think about Jackson State. Is that where they're at? Jackson State, right?
Yeah.
Imagine Jackson State kids making more money than their staff.
Yeah.
Wild. Wild.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies. Y'all ready? This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, wrapping things up here at the warehouse. Thanks for hanging out with us today. 1825 South, 300 West, that's where it's located. That's where you can find it. So DTC, Scott, you know what that is in the consumer world when it comes to streaming services, things like that?
No idea.
Means direct to customer.
Oh.
Now what that means is you're not paying like normal gate fees to kind of get to a streaming service, something like that. ESPN is actually, and if it's ESPN, then we're talking Disney, right? They're actually thinking about a non-paid subscription, like a streaming service that wouldn't be paid for you to be able to get some of ESPN's offerings. And it's not necessarily – like, I'm one of these guys that has – I have the Disney Plus, you know, in my house.
Right.
And I have the ESPN Plus that goes along with it and the Hulu Plus that goes along with that.
Right.
Because you can package them all together. It's so weird, too, because we've gotten to the point now – remember how – I mean, you – we've just gotten to the point where we've been okay adding $7.99, $6.99, $10.99 a month. And
I do it all.
Scott does it all, and I'm the same way. Where I'm like, oh yeah, I'll take. Oh, that seems pretty cheap. But the reality is, it all adds up to be way too much. And if sports are blowing up as much as they are, which Disney is banking on, you to watch these things. On ESPN Plus, Scott, that's what I watch, so many things. I even watch baseball on the ESPN Plus stuff. So they're talking about bringing a free version of ESPN that would allow you to watch some of the more popular sporting events, and which is kind of weird. We've gone from cutting cords to streaming, and now companies even saying, you know what? We're gonna let you cut the cord, and you can get our stuff for free. So they're gonna have a direct to customer offering when it comes to some of the ESPN stuff as well. The reality is so much money. The advertising that goes along with these sporting events has gotten so astronomical. We can pay Tom Brady $375 million over 10 years to be an analyst on one Fox football game a week.
See, I think that traditional ways of viewing will probably be enhanced. You know, I think you'll still see both directions, whether it's the cord or no cord. But I think you're going to get a lot of traditional places like ESPN looking for new ways to gain viewership, to
reach people that probably haven't
habits just change. I mean, mm-hmm. There was a time when everything you listened to or watched was on the radio. People are glued to the radio, mm-hmm. and then that changed, you know, and all of a sudden they go, hey, we found this thing called television. And it's just a way our culture is. It just changes and develops, and you kind of start seeing things. I mean, I remember when cable television came in, right? What the heck is that?
I know.
And now
had
it's
like seven extra channels.
Yeah, this big black box.
Yeah.
And you had a dial. You had to get up and actually turn the dial. So it's
that was the old cable. Yeah. All right.
Embrace it, people.
All right. For Scott Mitchell, producer Jeremy, Kelly hooking things up here at the warehouse. Muchos thank you. Scott Mitchell, Alex Curie. We'll be back again next week for another edition of Unrivaled 97.5 1280 The Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.